Right, right. Well, I mean, that's like the warning that the West Virginia State Trooper gave to one of the peaceful protesters here in West Virginia. You know, you're lucky you're in this car. Those miners that take you out and throw you down a mine shaft or into a sludge dam and nobody ever hear you again.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So I know time's short and you got to do your...
Well, thanks for the heads up. I appreciate it, Kevin.
So I will try calling again tomorrow maybe if I'm not busy.
Okay, sounds good.
My kitty goes to the VET tomorrow. And
yes, we don't say that word out loud and just hope she
exactly.
can't spell.
Exactly.
Right.
Nope. So, hey, Bob, have a good evening.
Thanks, Kevin. Bye now.
All right. Bye-bye.
And it is time to get out of here. I can happily announce that within the last couple of minutes, we have met and exceeded Adam's challenge. We have exceeded it by $35. So thank you very much to all of you who responded. It is important. And, you know, I wouldn't do this if it wasn't necessary. So thank you. Thank you all for meeting Adam's challenge for this evening. It's much appreciated, and it will put us a little closer to the two-thirds mark when we hit two-thirds of August on tomorrow evening's program. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this happen. Kate said, see, I told you. Everybody thinks that pop top is a round, Bob. It's not a round. It's a pop top on a beer can. That's all it is. That's all it ever has been. but no, thanks to everybody who makes all this happen, beginning first of all with you. Your contribution of your of a financial nature, of an idea nature, thoughts, and most of all the finite and precious time that you share with the Horn family when you tune in, either live or by podcast. Thank you. I want to take a moment, and I don't even know if she's going to hear this, but and I hope I'm not talking out of school. Our dear friend Maura has been quite ill lately, and I just want to let you know and just put something out into the universe that we are thinking of her and we care about her, and she is much on our minds. So, Maura, when you get home and everything, you'll hear this later, but we're thinking of you, we love you. And we're wanting the very, very best for you and a quick recovery. Thanks to our chat room moderators, Lottie and Sparky. Thanks to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thanks to Agnes for her ongoing help with the show posts. Thanks to our blogger, Texas Betsy. Thanks to John Fox. Thanks to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Nothing happens here without the White Rose. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you.
Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Cold water and a news stack as thick as the Manhattan telephone book. How could a Monday possibly get any better? Hey, welcome. I'm Bob Kincaid. We begin a brand new broadcast week on the Horn, the 20th of August, 2012. pretty much two-thirds of the way through the month of August. This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network, headonradionetwork.com. Available only on the Internet, unless you're in the two or three places that we won't really talk about, where pirate broadcasters are putting the signal over the airwaves, yar. I can't resist. No, we are available primarily only on the Internet. Where? Well, places like Tuner Internet Radio, TuneIn Radio. Yes, no, maybe, iTunes Radio, Stitcher Internet Radio. Lots of places. Lots of places. Of course, the easiest thing to do is simply to come to headonradionetwork.com. Or, you know, tune in radio. And get the stream there with our one-click player. You can also find stream the stream address at whiterosesociety.org. Whiterosesociety.org is the home for all of the streams that go out via The Horn, as well as podcasting. Ben Birch has been engaged in that heroic activity for 10 years now. 10 years. Yeah, it's kind of amazing to think about. Let's see. Scheduling, programming notes, what have you. Looks like a pretty, well, I won't say normal, pretty regular broadcast week here. No interruptions foreseen. But then again, one never knows when the next derecho will come along. Or big-ass land hurricane, as we like to say in these parts. We are live from the hills and hollers of almost level West by God, Virginia. And let me get this out front. Let's just deal with this. I was checking the numbers a couple of minutes ago. We are two-thirds of the way through August. We are not quite one-half of the way through fundraising for August. Two-thirds of the way through August should be about $833. One-third should be $833, so $1,666. Oh, my God, $666. What? Yeah, we should be at about $1,666 for the month's fundraising. We're at $1,208, which creates a, well, it's a struggle. It just is. It would be nice not to operate month to month, or it'd be nice to have a month's cushion, you know, to be ahead by a month so that all the bills are ahead and all that. But we've never really been able to do that. So I am pleased to announce at the beginning of this program that I got an email earlier. I got an internet, as the departed Ted Stevens would say. No, I got an email earlier today from Adam. Adam said, Bob, I'll match any contributions that come in during the show of your choice, and that would be tonight. I'll match any donations that come in during the show up to $100. It pisses me off that you're struggling to pay the bills while right-wing troglodyte radio gets endless funding. And Adam's right. Brian Fisher, he'll be a nominee on this evening's More and Monday list. Yes, I know. I haven't forgotten. Jesus, how could you forget today? That guy doesn't. No. And neither do the right wing doesn't. They're just funded. But on this side of the aisle, the horn has continued for as long as it has because you have been determined for it to continue. And because of your determination, all of us, the volunteer staff of the Horn, have been able to continue over these long years. And it is incredibly appreciated, and it's humbling, as I've said before, and it's also energizing and exciting. Because while we recognize that the great big so-called liberal or progressive think tanks don't realize what just a little chunk of change will do, Y'all do. And it makes all the difference in the world. So there's a standing offer tonight from Adam to match the first $100 that come in. That's 20 at 5, 5 at 20, 10 at 10, 2 at 50, 2 at 40, and 1 at 20. Don't make me do the math. It hurts. It really, really hurts. And that would take us up to getting close. Well, we'd only be $400 away from the two-thirds mark instead of $600. And there's a real difference because, I mean, what we're talking about here is phone bills and internet bills and the equipment costs of stuff that has to constantly be replaced, power bills. It goes on. There's a lot that goes into making this happen, frankly, that we weren't even thinking about when we started this. But, yeah, a lot goes into it. And it comes up, and I mean, I'll just, I alluded to it on Friday. It's going to get harder for reasons that don't bear going into, but it's going to get harder as we go into next month and the month after that and the month after that. So I'll just say that's where we are. So Adam has kindly offered to match the first $100 that come in. And with any luck at all, that challenge will be met quickly. And so that I can tell Adam and he can match up. And thank you to Adam, and thank you to all of you who step in for the match. It is much appreciated. The PayPal button is, of course, at headonradionetwork.com. As is the snail mail address. If you want to use snail mail and you want to be included in tonight's challenge, shoot me a note and just tell me so that I can, you know, keep up with the math and tell Boss Man Wayne to haunt the mailbox again. He haunts it pretty good as it is. So that's that part of the process. Now, I really didn't forget. I really couldn't. This has been a weird... Hey, wow, excellent. Thank you very kindly. We are only $90 away from matching Adam's challenge now. Thank you. Thank you very much. And I'll let you know as things go, as the show progresses. No, I know what day it is. All I got to do now is get to the right button, make the right noises happen. Oh, there it is! Hurry, hurry, hurry! Step right up, step right up! You will not believe your eyes. You will not believe your ears. You may run in disgust. You may shock. You may be shocked. You may faint. It's Moran Monday on the Horn. This is the program that tells the Morans, but you can't tell them much. And you can't tell the Morans without a program. Therefore, for less than 5 cents per hour of programming, the Horn is here to tell the Morans. Behind this thin cybernetic veil of cybernetic canvas, you'll find Morans of all stripe, all manner, all degree. Weird ones, strange ones, mean ones, hateful ones, ignorant ones, Morans by the dozen. People carrying bags are advised to hold them close to their body as the Morans can be a little grabby. Head for the hills or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, I... Based on the email I've been receiving over the course of the weekend, since yesterday, it seems that everybody pretty much knows that tonight's Moran nominations are just a formality. Because we've had a walk-off winner. And you know who the walk-off winner is, and we'll get to him later. But I like for Moran Monday to at least recognize the full panoply of stupidity that ranges throughout the grand old party, the Repiglican party. The spectrum of weirdness, hate, sickness, misogyny, racism, homophobia, that is the modern conservative movement. So I suppose that tonight, this afternoon, tomorrow morning, depending on where you are, Moran Monday, although we have a lead pipe cinch, Moran Monday has to respect, well, no, respect's the wrong word. Moran Monday has to take into account that there are a lot of right-wingers out there doing a lot of Moran work. And we cannot let that go unnoticed. We just can't. If anything, we liberals, we progressives, we decent human beings have to remain true to our principles. And that means that we can't just blow past other weirdos, other sickos, because there's a bigger sicko sucking all the oxygen out of the room. We just can't. And so with that in mind, I want to offer, and your nominations are available as well, I want to offer our honorable mentions. We're not going to classify them second place, third place, because they're all also rans as compared to tonight's winner. We'll start with one, and I'm just going to give you the basic details. We'll start with one from Arkansas, because it was first on the list. Fritz had actually sent this in last Friday. See, they started... You know, we started Moran Monday, and the Morans started lining up. Eventually, the Morans will be lining up on Tuesday, or, you know, 10.01 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, immediately after the show closes, to make the next week's nominations. Moran Monday is sort of, oh, I don't know, prestigious in a weird right-wing kind of way, I guess. No, we will start with, and Fritz, are you out there? What's the name of this place? Haven Home, or Mountain Home, or Hooligan Home, Arkansas. Where a member of the military, a young man, recently found himself in trouble with the law because he was sitting around talking to some of his military buddies, and he said, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to go shoot up a school. And even his buddies realized, you know, that's a little creepy. Yeah, you're right, Marty. Moran Monday is a target-rich environment. A lot of low-hanging fruit. So Cletus, we'll call him Cletus, maybe Jim Bob or Johnny Jeff or what? Arkansas, come on. But you know what I'd like to do, just to get their attention? I'd like to shoot up a school. And his buddies said, okay, Cletus, that's a great idea. You just sit right here, and we'll be right back. And they ran, they hauled out their cell phones, and they called the authorities, which was the right thing to do. And he has since been charged with two or three things like making terroristic threats. His defense? Well, I didn't mean nothing by it. I was just kidding. And here's the cherry on top of the poop of this story. I went and, of course, I always scroll down for the comments on local TV stories because that's where the real fun starts. And the very first comment, when I went and looked at it, was some goober who had posted, I think freedom of speech is just dead in America anymore. Can't say nothing. Or something like that. Because, you know, what we want is for people to idly sit around talking about shooting up schools and for nobody to take him seriously and nobody to act to protect the school. What was the school supposed to do? You just kind of quietly, you know, we got Cletus over here says he wants to come and shoot up a school, so Could we get a few howitzers around? You know, maybe some submachine guns, couple of, you know, a little barbed wire, razor wire. Razor wire is always good. And just turn every school in Hooligan Haven, Arkansas, or whatever, into armed camps. Maybe put up some FEMA signs so the teabaggers can go extra crazy. See, there's them Obama FEMA re-education camps. Right? Yeah. No. It's easiest when somebody starts talking like that to take them aside and say, you know, that's a crime. Just like it's a crime to be going through the airport. Do you have any explosives, sir? All right, chair. I think our freedoms are just gone in America. So that's our first nominee. That's one of the, no, it's not a nominee. It's just honorable mention. And since you already know who the winner is tonight, I mean, there's no drama here. Then it would be unfair. Then let's just jump right to Brian Fisher. At Brian J. Fisher, that's Fisher with an F-I-S-C-H-E-R, Fisher. Ooh, that's kind of gross. Brian J. Fisher over at the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi. Who jumped right out with a full-throated defense of Representative Todd Akin, who is, of course, I mean, come on, we can say it. He's the winner. I mean, this is a horse race where all the horses fall down out of the gate except one that just and then it just sort of lopes around the track. And yeah, it's Todd Akin. I mean, come on. Brian Fisher tweeted today, Todd Akin is right. Physical trauma of forcible rape can interfere with hormonal production, comma, conception. How do you not just at least include that in the honorable mentions for More in Monday? Because, see, there's that magic word, forcible rape. More on that in a little bit. Forcible rape. You know who came up with that forcible rape language? Why, look! Yeah, it's Paul Ryan. Yeah, him. In conjunction with, of course, Todd Akin. Because we don't mean none of that phony baloney rape like where she was dressing all slutty and stuff. You know, the ones where they ask for it by dressing unbiblically in an ungodly fashion. Todd Akin is right. Physical trauma of forcible rape can interfere with hormonal production and conception. You know where he got that idea? Because I do. That idea has been banging around out there since the Middle Ages. No, really. An article in The Guardian pointed out that this theory had a certain degree of traction as recently as the 19th century. The article in The Guardian noting a quote The idea that rape, well, okay, here's the text. The idea that rape victims cannot get pregnant has long roots. The legal position that pregnancy disproved a claim of rape appears to have been instituted in the UK sometime in the 13th century before it was the UK. You know, the 1200s. One of the earliest British legal texts, Fleta, has a clause in the first book of the second volume stating that, quote, if, however, the woman should have conceived at the time alleged in the appeal, it abates, for without a woman's consent, she could not conceive. Like I said, this is the 1200s. This is the 13th century. Without her consent, she could not conceive. But the article does go on to note that Samuel Farr's Elements of Medical Jurisprudence, published 1814, said, "For without an excitation of lust, or the enjoyment of pleasure in a venereal act, no conception can probably take place. So that if an absolute rape were to be perpetrated, it is not likely she would become pregnant." Absolute rape, forcible rape, legitimate rape. These people, you know, these people, the Brian J. Fishers, and my name is Brian J. Fisher. No. They are stuck in the Dark Ages. And yes, to those who know their history, I know the Dark Ages were not nearly as benighted as we think they were. And it probably is unfair to the Dark Ages to suggest that Brian J. Fisher, Todd Akin, the Paul Ryan, and the lot of them belong there. But they didn't have a lot of working knowledge of science or things outside the realm's imaginary. But it is pretty clear that we are dealing with people whose ideas of the workings of the human body are no nearer the present than the early 19th century. Now, lest we paint with too broad a brush, it should be noted, as the article at The Guardian does, that in the 17th century, Hilkiah Crook, I always thought it was Hezekiah, but this is Hilkiah Crook, sounds like somebody out of a Dickens novel, wrote a book called Microcosmographia. And Hilkiah Crook said, "A woman's orgasm was not always needed in order to create a pregnancy." Because that's the thing, that was the going theory, that a woman had to orgasm in order to get pregnant. Which would not necessarily be a bad myth to promulgate, because that would have had the guys who wanted to, because, you know, primogeniture and, you know, sons and, you know, and royal houses without issue and all that. You would think that wouldn't that have promoted the idea of men seeing to it that women, their partners, enjoyed it? No, of course not. But this is the kind of thing that we've been battling for, you know, eons. Notions that women's reproductive systems are merely inverted male systems, that women are had a cooler constitution and therefore could not force the ovaries to turn into testicles and have big dangling penises, or even little ones. Todd Akin, most of the Repig-Licking Party, are mired in, at the latest, the early 19th century. So that's the reality. Yeah, Ron in Raleigh writing says, "Bob, you mean like in Blazing Saddles, you put rape down twice? I like rape." Yeah, like that. Yeah, Marty with an early note. Shall we begin conjuring Sandra or Susan or Juanita or Agnes or any other woman who listens to the horn? I have a figure. Yeah, I imagine the conjuring will probably take place. My God. So there's Brian Fisher. And we'll get to the rest of Todd Akin's shenanigans, idiocy, misogyny. Oh Jesus, we got all the words available tonight, right? Asshattery. We'll get to that. And I just wanted to put Brian J. Fisher out there because he's a perennial Moran Monday nominee. But right before the Todd Akin thing hit, I got a tweet from Sandra saying, "Oh my God, look at this." You know how every time a progressive artist or actor or musician says anything progressive, the right wing screams, "Well, he don't know, she don't know nothing about the wall, she shut up." Yeah, remember what they did to the Dixie Chicks? Death threats, that kind of thing. Well, I kind of hate it that Todd Akin had to do what he did, because this deserves a little more attention. And it's a pity it's just been washed away among the flotsam and jetsam of the flood tide that Akin has created. So out in Iowa way, there was Hank Williams Jr., Bo Cephas, a giving of a concert out to the fairgrounds or some such. Yeah, it's not nearly as interesting a fair this year with Marcus not out there, Marcus Bachman not out there working over one of them yummy corn dogs, and Rick Perry or Michelle Bachman, or I don't know, we may never see that again. It may be that all the political consultants in the world have learned, don't let them near a corn dog because people with cameras will, and then it'll just be on. No, Hank Williams Jr., Bo Cephas, was given a concert when apparently the tertiary syphilis that has been running through his brain kicked in. According to the news report from Des Moines, a review of the concert itself, the following. Following the song "We Don't Apologize for America," the lyrics to which I will share with you momentarily, because I'm damn sure not going to play it for you. Following the song "We Don't Apologize for America," a chant of USA, USA, USA broke out amongst the crowd. Williams smiled that syphilitic grin of his, telling the crowd that he was their mouthpiece. Really? A guy with the IQ of ice cream? Of ice cream's temperature is my mouthpiece? Oh, I don't feel good about this. Telling the crowd that he was their mouthpiece and adding, "We've got a Muslim president who hates farming, hates the military, hates the U.S., and we hate him." The reviewer in Des Moines notes the cheers that followed were loud and enthusiastic. Now, what are the lyrics to, and in the tradition of Sebastian Cabot, actor, reads Bob Dylan, poet, or, I don't know, William Shatner reading Rocket Man. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And, you know, I am a former high school state champion in poetic interpretation. Not that I'm resting on my laurels or anything, but I'm going to do this as best I can. No nation's lost more men than Uncle Sam. From the fields of France to two. No, I'm sorry. That's okay. I got to get my glass. Can we have a second take?
Okay, take two, Bob.
No nation's lost more men than Uncle Sam. From the fields of France to Iwo, Afghanistan. Though freedom isn't free, neither is liberty. It ain't the protesters and politicians. It's the 19-year-olds on dangerous missions. Hey, we don't apologize for America. That old VFW, that is sacred ground. And we like to sing along on that good old Haggard song. When you're running down our country hoss, you walkin' on the fightin' side of me. So get behind the stars and stripes. Boy, just get the hell out and quit your gripe. So you got a long list of things you don't like. Well, please do us a favor, all you America haters. Why don't you move to Mexico tonight? No, we don't apologize for America. Walter Reed, that is sacred ground. And we're gonna sing along on that good old Merle song while you running down our country hoss. You walking on the fighting side of me and Bocephus. Hey, Obama, one more time. When you running down our country man, you walking on the fighting side of me. The cheers that followed were loud and enthusiastic, as read. I'm not going to go into a deep and abiding critique of this stunning piece of lyricism. Where politicians rhymes with missions. And not much rhymes with anything else. I couldn't help noting, however, the why don't you move to Mexico tonight line. In which, it wouldn't be the first time that ever happened. After all, Willard Romney's granddaddy, when told that he could no longer be married to 19 women, packed them all up and moved to Mexico. A few years later, Willard's daddy snuck back across the border as an illegal alien to go and become fabulously wealthy, and, well, the rest is history. But I really am annoyed by the stupid. No nation's lost more men than Uncle Sam. Well, I didn't know Uncle Sam was a nation. But the fact of the matter is, yes, more people have lost more than Uncle Sam. And I don't give a rotten rat's ass what Hank Williams Jr. and his tooth thinketh of me. But the fact of the matter is, a lot more have been lost. We're 98 years from the beginning of the First World War, just for starters. And then there's that whole dust-up between 1939 and 1945, when how many did the Russians lose? How many Soviet citizens, women, children, babies in arms, innocents? How many did Mother Russia lose? Yeah, I call it Mother Russia because that's what they call it. I'm not Russian. I can't hardly stand the stupid. But lest you think that country music has a lock on it, let's just finish this little honorable mention off with Dave Mustaine of Megadeth, who went to Singapore to say, back, I need an accent for Dave Mustaine. Back in my country, my president is trying to pass a gun ban, so he's staging all of these murders. The Fast and Furious thing down at the border in Aurora, Colorado, all the people that were killed there, and now the beautiful people at the Sikh temple. I don't know where I'm going to live if America keeps going the way it's gone, because it looks like it's turning into Nazi America. You know, we got to get those two together. Dave Mustaine, Hank Williams Jr. What a wingnut tour it would be. Ah, thank you, John. This in from Dr. John. The cheers were loud and enthusiastic. John noting, and I bet they stank of Coors Light. Damn straight. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Betsy. I love me some upspeak. Ron and Raleigh asking, hey, Bob, how many black folks do you think were in that audience? Old Bo Cephas will insist that no racism was inherent in his disdain for the president. I'm reckoning, no, none. So, a couple of honorable mention nominees, but the lights are beginning to light up, and have been since the beginning of the program, frankly. And at 22 minutes before the hour, because there is much to be said, I want to go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
I'm welcome, am I?
You are.
Ron didn't conjure me. That's not. I don't even bother to talk about that. Aiken, God Almighty, I read that today and thought, what? And Grandpa had 19 wives. He must have known something about orgasms, or they wouldn't have hung around.
Well, I don't know that it was 19. It may have been 27. You know, I mean.
Today is Robert Plant's birthday. Isn't that cool?
Oh, that is cool.
Bless his heart. Bless his heart.
God love him.
Yeah, I'm just calling in from exotic Montana, where we have a lot of wind and a lot of sun, and it's 90.
Yes, that exotic wind and I nearly should have saved that for Monday too, shouldn't I? Nah, who wants to get lost in the midst of the honorable mentions, huh, Kate?
Yeah, right. We don't have that exotic wind blowing that we usually have today, and because we need to blow some of this smoke that we've gotten that from the forest fires over to North and South Dakota to the cowgirl, but she's got her own problems. Our hills are on fire and our fish are dying because the water gets above 72 degrees in the daytime, so people can only fish early in the morning when it's 50 degrees, 56 degrees, and we're losing trout and carp. And
yeah, trout don't like room temperature water.
No, not at all. And they can't reproduce, and they die because of the oxygen depletion, and it's exotic around here. Yeah. So anyway, and the protests, the oil protests, the sit-ins at the Capitol did absolutely no good. The land board is all, they're all pro-arch.
The coal action?
Mm-hmm. The contracts have all been signed, and Schweitzer said, governor said, what should we do? What do you want to do? Just send the money back? God. Anyway. Yeah, Brian. Hello. All of the candidates for, Secretary of State, governor, senator, and somebody else, they're all signed on. I mean, every one of them.
And have you ever heard of a creepier name for a railroad than the Tongue Railroad, Kate? That's mm-hmm. the thing that's planned to reach the Powder River base and carry 60, 70, 100 trains a day. And we're talking about 125 car long trains. From the Powder River Basin all the way to places like Bellingham, Washington.
Mm-hmm. And I live about a quarter of a mile from the tracks, and we have about four trains before noon. We have four trains going through here, going through Helena a day in the morning, and I don't know how many in the afternoon. I can't hear them.
Well, that's like when I was down in the southwest corner of Virginia, just sitting there in the evening time as the little tiny mosquitoes and no-see-ums and stuff began to come out and roust about. We heard, in the course of a 2 or 3 hour conversation, we heard like 4 or 5 trains blowing through there because it's right by this natural tunnel. And so you hear them all, and every last, you know, it's not like some of them were passenger trains. They were each and every, no, they were each and every one of them coal trains, full to bursting with our lives or the externalized costs imposed upon them.
Yeah, well, all I can do is every time I find a light on here in my apartment building, I turn it off and don't want to burn another lump of coal. So you taught me well back in the turn of the century, whenever the hell that was. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
That story? It was the week that Peter went on the air. Anyway, I've been listening to, our government, our president is anti-military. Well, we just they're sending 50 more of our babies from the Montana National Guard. They're being deployed to Afghanistan this week, and then how many more people got killed? I think.
Yeah, and he's anti-farming too, you know, because you know being as how he is an alien creature, he doesn't have to consume food or anything, so he's anti-farming.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't pay much attention to any of this stuff because it's all BS, and I just don't, I can't get interested. It's crap and whatever. I've been listening to some archives, and I caught just the beginning of the show. I had to run down. I got to go get meds for my little neighbor, but I heard the beginning of the show, and you gave some numbers, and I'd like to underscore what, was it Adam?
Yeah.
Said. And thank Adam and Robert for their challenges. And I've been around here long enough to know that there's a historical trend going on. And I bet you that the power bill is $500 this month.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the water and the internet and the phone. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't go away.
Coming up around $900.
Every bit of it. Every bit of it.
Mm-hmm. If those don't get paid, we don't go on the air in September, huh?
I don't know how to answer that. We will go on the air until they turn it off. But they will turn it off.
Well, since this is more on Monday, I kind of agree with Adam. He's pissed off about the fat cats who are the... Did he say the progressives or conservatives?
No, he said the right-wingers who, let's see, what's the exact quote? It pisses me off that you're struggling to pay the bills while right-wing troglodyte radio gets endless funding.
Well, yeah, but I could sort of say the same thing. I maybe not pissed off, but I feel a little bit snarky about we have a lot of new listeners, and I don't know where they're coming from, but I'm hearing a lot of new people on the air, and maybe they don't understand the magnitude of the problem or the enormity of the issue, and there's a desperate need for funding, and just $5, I mean, that's all. And I was thinking a while ago about the weekend coming up, and if people, if like the hot dogs and the chips and the beer and the liquor and the cigarettes and the extra gas and everything, every time you put something, one of those things in your basket at the store, put one back and send that $5 to the horn, because I mean, just that discretionary spending is it could be enormous if we could just get $5 or $10 from people. I mean, this is Moran Monday, and we have a lot of people who aren't contributing, I bet, because they think, well, somebody else will, it's okay, it ain't no big deal. He's always like that drama queen about money, blah blah. No, this is serious. This is very serious, and if we don't get the money, we don't get the program. And you know how awful it is when Bob's on the road doing Coal River stuff and mountaintop removal stuff and the AIC Act, and that we don't have it on the air, and how good it feels when he's back. Well, you know, there's going to come a day. I mean, I'm here to do my Cassandra thing, and nobody listens. And I thank Robert I hope I help break him, because I already sent my $100 in, what it's what I could afford this month, because I'm not using much gas, and not eating any groceries. And so, I mean, it's just, please, 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 whatever. Just consider what you're putting in the grocery basket this weekend for your holiday, or, you know, when the upcoming holiday, just put one of them back and send that $5 to Bob, to the Horn, and you can repeat the, address for the, Eisenhower for the private mailbox. And, but just remember that we gotta have power and water and internet and phone. And that's close to $1,000. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's the start.
Yeah, well, it just get, you know, and you say, you, I've heard you say before, I'm gonna be here till the lights go out. Well, goddamn, it's getting really close. It's getting close. The thread is getting really, really thin, so. I guess that's my rant for today. I just, like, Moran Mundy, we could consider some of our listeners Morans because they're not paying for the privilege of having the Horn on the air every night. So, I hate to be, no, I don't hate to be snarky. I'm just being snarky, and, Brad and Desi can get away with it. I guess I can too, huh?
Absolutely. Snark is always welcome here. we have never promoted the Horn as snark-free radio.
No, I forget. I was going to say something else, but I forget what it was, so I got to hang up. I'm kind of distracted by having to get my friend's medication to her before evening, so I'm out of here, and I'll listen to the rest of the program on archives, and I want to thank everybody for contributing today, and we got to get that number up and get things solid, and we're not doing Bob's liver and kidneys and gallstones any good by our blood pressure by letting them hang on like this every week, every month, week after month after month. So, come on, y'all. Just, check out that grocery basket and put that last six.
Yeah, I keep trying to, you know, what it boils down to month sucks. I keep trying to figure out, Kate, a way to get a month ahead. You know, so that instead of talking about August being responsible for whether there's a September, we can at least say what, that, you know, what happens in August will be responsible for whether it's not October and September for November. But you know what? To a certain extent, that's a mirror of life in America.
It is.
You know, how many of us are a week, 2 weeks away from absolute disaster?
Yeah, abject poverty. I know. And there are, but I remember the little guy who, I don't know if it was a little guy, but the person who sent in that $5 or $10 to the post office box, and he wrote a note to Wayne and said, this is all I can afford. I gave up one of my bags of popcorn this month. And so, and it made Wayne cry. I just loved it.
Yeah.
So anyway, is Boss Man going to the post office box anymore?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Wayne still haunts the post office box as often as possible.
Oh, okay. Maybe I should just send him a little $5 bill, a little snarky note in it. My favorite B-52 mechanic.
Damn straight. Oh, but no, let's not make Boss Man Wayne cry any more than he has to.
I love him. Is he doing okay? Is he healthy? No.
He's working himself to a frazzle, but that seems to have rejuvenative properties. I mean, it's
Yeah. Well, I guess I'll just do that and send him a little note.
Okie doke.
Anyway, I miss him calling in too. So, anyway, have a good program, break a leg, and I'll talk to you all later. Okay.
Well, you know what? I gotta tell you before you go, Kate. One just rolled in. Said for Kate and Adam, here's my box.
Oh. All right. Woo! We just need a few more of those. That's all, folks.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for taking my call.
I wait all night for calls like these.
Bye, hon.
See you, Kate. Kate, calling from the Front Range of Montana. And, yeah, that's an inside joke. There's a line in one of our favorite songs, Donald Fagen's The Night Fly, which is about a disc jockey. And he says, thanks for calling. I wait all night for calls like these. So that's where that comes from. Onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Well, hey, Juanita.
That's good to hear from Kate. I hadn't heard from her in a long time, but I haven't heard the programs, all of them, for a long time, too. So.
Well, I know you've had some computer problems and such, have you not?
And et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, life has interfered with your previously established listening plan, right?
Yeah. I want to tell you something. This is personal, but it's not. It's not just about me, but it's just something that's happening to me right now. I got a card back in June. My birthday was in June, and it's saying that my driver's license was due and didn't give me a price or anything, and but it was telling me different papers I would need to get it. I had to look up online because, you get so many things now that are false, you know.
Fraudulent, and it's a scam. Right.
And anyway, this is kind of a roundabout way of telling you something. But so I look up and I make calls and I find out it's legitimate. And usually they send you a bill. And I wasn't even thinking about that my driver's license was due. And, of course, now, you know, we have to have you have to have an original birth certificate. It can't be from the hospital.
It's got to be the long form?
I don't know. Mine's not that long. But anyway, of course, I wasn't born in a hospital. Anyway, or you have to have one that is certified, which that's what mine is. It's one of those old copies and it's certified.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were still making the indentation on notary.
Oh, yeah, the raised seal.
Yeah. But anyway, I found out that I would have to get my marriage certificate to prove why my name was changed.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Yeah.
They really don't want you voting, right? I mean...
Well, I kind of get the hint, you know. So anyway, I ask them how much it is, and it's like $54.
Yeah, because, you know, you're just rolling around in that Jed Clampett walking around money, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, and anyway, so, I mean, that's gone way up, you know, from what it was. And a lot of people didn't know about these new changes, and they would go to the... The few driver's license places that we have still left, which we actually have three in this county, but this is a big, big county. And so anyway, I called to try to get some details on it, and I found out that you have to have, like, a proof of ownership of your home and... you know, your deed. It's a whole bunch of stuff.
Dear God, how far... did they ask for a piece of the true cross?
Of the what?
Never mind. I was being a smart...
No, you said something about cross.
I said, did they ask for a piece of the true cross or maybe a lock of John the Baptist's hair? Or...
Yeah. Well, give them time, Bob. this place gets crazier and crazier. Anyway... So, okay, I go over there and I don't use glasses for distance. So they would want me to take an eye test. And,
Jiminy Christmas, Juanita.
So anyway, they test me and I can read everything except one little part, and they tried me on a bunch of machines, and then they said, well, you'll have to go to the eye doctor and let him tell us whether you need to have glasses to get your license. So they gave me an extension. But at
well, bless
first,
their hearts.
I have a given name, you know, a first name that I've never used, and that happened, like people in my era, a lot of people were given first names that they never used.
Right.
And so that was a big thing, and a man and a woman, they had to work that out for me, but because they said if they didn't, that would cause a lot of problems. But basically, now this is not the only thing, but basically I'm saying, you know, they're saying that, oh, all these people got to pay just a few dollars, you know, to get their ID. Well, maybe somewhere else, but not in Florida. That's a lot. And then you got to figure out how to get to the driver's license place. And But anyway, I go to the eye doctor, and they said I had pretty good eyes, except I had these two huge cataracts, which that surprised me because I thought, you know, I could tell or see them or something. But anyway, one of them is almost too big. If it grows any bigger, it's almost too big to be operated on, you know. And so the guy said, you know, this will really help your eyesight. And he said, you need to have it done as quickly as possible because of, you know, if it grows, then we can't do anything about it. But anyway, so I thought, okay, I think I'll do that. And so I said, can I wait and get my glasses afterwards? And he said, yes. Anyway, so I go back. I thought all I had to do was get the thing. You have to have a form filled out. So I go back to the driver's license place, and they wanted me to have my glasses. So I got another extension. They said, this is my last extension. Okay, so I'm going to try to make this short. Anyway, I go to the eye doctor and get all these tests, and I'm getting set up to have the surgery. I'm supposed to have it like on the 4th
of September. Mercy sakes.
But anyway, you have to have certain drops for the surgery. There's two different kinds.
Oh, yeah.
They tell me, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they told me, they said they didn't know if my insurance would pay for it or not, because I have like what they call it, Advantage, Medicare Advantage. And anyway, they gave me some discount cards in case it wouldn't pay, which it won't. I found out it won't. And it's like over $250 or something for both of them.
Good.
Now, one of them I can get for $40, and the other one probably is $100-something. So that's probably going to leave me out. But this is the kicker I wanted to tell you about. I go, and I found the papers, and they said, you know, there's two different kind of lenses you can get. And one of them, you won't need glasses anymore. Of course, this is all, you know, if the surgery goes okay. And but it said it costs $2,500. And I had to sign.
Oh, did they have to pick you up off the ground first?
I had to sign that I understood that and that I wasn't able to pay the $250 for the lens. And I thought, oh, I wonder if I could maybe I could write a letter to Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
He seems to be able to get things done.
Well, now you don't want to be writing that. He's liable to just go out and rip somebody's eyeballs out of the head, Juanita.
<Right. laughs>
I mean, there he is walking around with some decent human being's heart.
My point is this. I'm just using this not to talk about my own self, but this is a problem, and I know Kate worked with a lot of people that didn't have nothing, no insurance at all.
Sure.
And I've been there too.
I am there.
I've been there. But it's still, they still want to deny you. You're not a first class citizen.
No.
I wonder sometimes if you're even considered a citizen.
I think everything that you've been through sort of proves, Juanita, that you're not.
And then, you know, the doctor show, you know, where they show all these things that can be done. I don't like it because I like to hear new things, but for some reason that show is like, well, sorry, you don't have the money to pay for it, you know.
Well, I want to share some information with you before anything else, because Patty's just written in, and she said two things. She said, one, please let Juanita know that she needs to call the ACLU and the Obama campaign.
You think they would do anything?
Well, she says that the state has to pay for your ID stuff, or else it is a poll tax. And they will, meaning the ACLU and the Obama campaign, they will help you get your IDs. Patty continues, she says, Juanita needs to tell them she is getting it so she can vote, but they will help her get it paid for. And then she adds, I forgot. See, this is the wonderful thing about the Horn family, Juanita. She said, I forgot. Let Juanita know that if she wants me to help her get hold of somebody who'll help her, she can email me and I'll hook her up with somebody in Florida to help her get the BSID stuff done. So,
okay.
You know, there's that offer, and I will hook the two of y'all up.
Okay.
In fact, I will do that right now. Let me just make sure that, yeah, because I'm...
One thing I wanted to say about the doctor show. Now, my son has got chronic back pain. I mean, it's really bad. And he's had some procedures. But they had this procedure that was on the doctor's show for your back. It was like the low invasion, what you call it?
The minimally invasive.
Invasion. Yeah. And anyway, it said on there, they told them that, you know, if you had insurance, they would pay for it. So I contacted them. That ain't true.
No.
Because he hadn't had a recent, what you call it, and they claim in their advertisement that they will give you a free, what you call the big T, MRI.
Yeah.
And he hadn't had one in a while, and so they, but this is what really happened was they wanted him to ask his doctor to get him a new one, and of course, They're not going to do it. And then, to something else, I don't know, they said that it would, cost, I think it was $7,000 or something up front. For
mercy's sakes.
That's what I hate about that show.
You're telling us a very real world.
Right.
Account here, Juanita.
And not just me and mine.
No.
This is analogy or whatever?
Well, I've got a story just to share with you.
Okay.
Because, Lantana, that's a Florida community, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lantana?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so this is a story out of the Palm Beach Post. And, it goes back about 4 days. It's the story of Giovanni Gonzalez. He was a securities trader. Notice, was.
Uh-huh.
At Wells Fargo.
Oh, okay.
His 4-year-old little girl was diagnosed with a really rare cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And they let him, for 2 years, they let him work irregular hours because he had to take his daughter to the doctor. He's got health insurance, right? So his little girl's name was Mackenzie, and her tumors were growing quickly, and so that took him all over the state to various hospitals.
Yeah.
And she was eventually scheduled in 2010 to have another surgery. And United Healthcare was the healthcare carrier for Wells Fargo. And they called him in to talk to him about the surgery.
Uh-huh.
And then they fired him.
Oh, boy.
And he has since sued. Mackenzie was not able to get the surgery because they canned him.
Yeah.
And then they lost his paperwork for his COBRA coverage. You know what that is?
Boy.
You know, that's the coverage you get after you're unemployed.
Oh, yeah. Which is really expensive.
Oh, it's brutal. So, instead of getting the surgery, little Mackenzie died in March of 2011.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Mm.
This is where we are, Juanita.
I know.
These profit-mongering thugs are willing to see people die.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's our own fault. And, you know,
for what? Being poor, being not Mitt Romney. I mean, it's got to be our fault somewhere, right?
Right. If you're poor, it's your fault. You know, all of it is your fault. But I saw a movie by accident the other night. It was on Turner Classic, and it was The Mad Woman of Shalar or whatever. You heard of that? Chile?
Not sure.
I had heard of it, and when I looked it up, it was originally a play. And it's Katharine Hepburn. And I thought, I don't think I want to watch this movie. But I thought, okay. It had little show for some reason, but it was a beautifully made movie, The Maid in Paris. And it was about Paris. And she was, you know, she was always, she dressed in like the styles from the 1800s, I guess, you know, carried her umbrella, her parasol and all.
Right.
But it turns out this is a very political show. And I recommend it because some of the things they were saying in there, and this thing was made back, you know, when, back when it had Yul Brynner, had Danny Kaye. Danny Kaye had a great role in there. And different ones. But it was very, it was, these men were completely evil, and they found out, they were running everything, and they found out that Paris had oil under it, and they were scheming to take over Paris and dig it up and have the oil. And I thought, my God, this thing is so up to date. I highly recommend, I wish I could spell it right.
Oh, okay, I found it here. I found it, yeah. The Madwoman of Shiloh, Chaillot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got it. Okay. Now I got to go watch this. You piqued my curiosity.
It's kind of a little bit like Dr. Strangelove in some ways. And they had, one of them was a preacher that it was over it. You know, he had this huge what's the matter?
Huh?
Congregation.
Oh, okay. There we go.
He had this huge, and then the other was this commissar of the Communist Party, was completely corrupt. You know?
Oh, yeah, what a cast. Paul Honreid, Oscar Homolka, Yul Brynner, and Donald Pleasance are all the bad guys.
Yeah, Donald Pleasance was a schemer. He freely admitted he was evil. You know, he was, everything he did was not on the up and up. But it just is amazing. It amazed me. I thought, my gosh, you know, they could have made this thing today.
Oh, and I just had a note in from Ron in Raleigh. He says, it is our fault, referring to your statement. He says, remember Appalling Ryan says he doesn't want the safety net to become, and these are his words, okay? This is the way that side thinks, or, you know, whatever it is that passes for thinking. He doesn't want the safety net to become a hammock.
Because we just get too lazy on that hammock.
You know, just laying around on our welfare with our socialized medicine in our hammock in the shade, eating caviar on saltines and living the high life and swilling that wine that don't come with a screw top. Yeah, that's right, us.
And there's just a couple more little things I wanted to say. I was listening to some of the shows that I hadn't heard before.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really changing the subject in a way. But it was one where Jim was on.
Uh-huh.
And he was talking about killing a blue jay. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that wasn't too long back. He was talking about when he got his first firearm.
Right. Well, I had something similar to happen to me, and I had the same reaction. When I was married, my husband taught me how to shoot, and I left a target practice and stuff like that, and we'd call ourselves hunting, and sometimes we'd hunt for food for the dog, you know, we wouldn't have the money. But anyway, I was target practicing, and I saw this little bird, this little sparrow, sitting in a tree on a limb. And I thought, I'll see if I can hit him. Well, I didn't hit him at first, but then I hit him, and he fell. And I went over to him, and I thought, my God, it's just like he just led himself to the slaughter. You know, he just stayed. And it just really affected me, and I understood what Jim was talking about, because I thought, I'll never kill something unless it's in misery or for food, if I have to for food.
Or trying to kill you.
Well, yeah, I guess that too. Yeah. But, you know, it just took, I just, like that little innocent life, that little, and, you know, and when Jim was told that, I thought, oh my God, it just brought that back to me. You know, and anyway, I don't know, I just thought that was so great. So, you know, that other people have same goofy feelings I have.
Well, I don't think there's anything goofy in it. It's a sign, to me, Juanita, it is a sign of a healthy and functioning conscience.
But that little bird just sat there.
Yeah.
It just sat there, you know. And you know, in the Bible, not a sparrow falls, but God does know.
That's right. That's the first thing I thought of when you said sparrow.
Yeah. You know, you heard about, I think I sent you an email about the congressman. Have you mentioned that?
Oh, you mean about Aiken?
No, about them, a bunch of them going skinny dipping.
Oh, yes, I did see that. Right. We haven't gotten to that.
In the holy waters.
Yeah, let's get liquored up and go skinny dipping where Jesus walked on the water, that one? Yeah.
Yeah, and one of them was, what's his name, son? Who was the vice president?
Dan Quayle?
Yeah, his son. You know, he's in Congress now.
And can you imagine, Juanita, can you just imagine if that had been a bunch of progressives or liberals or Democrats? I mean, John Hagee'd be up, kill the blasphemer, stone the unbeliever, right?
That's right, absolutely.
Well, I figured it out, though. You remember, you know, you go back a long way here with the Horn family. You remember back when Peter Godbold told us about Pat Robertson hustling that Sea of Galilee mud mask?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Well, see, Republicans being a bunch of cheapskates, I opted for skates instead of a worse word. I try to behave myself when we're talking, Juanita. Them being the cheapskates that they are, they went skinny dipping in the Sea of Galilee because they were going to waller in some mud.
Really?
And they were going to waller in some of that Sea of Galilee mud and not have to pay the premium to Pat Robertson for it.
Oh, yeah.
Because Pat, he don't come cheap, right?
No. He's into the gold and the diamonds, you know.
Yeah, he's just...
He was into oil. He tipped out over that.
Yeah, he's just not into adopted kids, that's all. You did hear that, right?
I heard that.
Yeah, don't be adopting children. You don't know where they've been.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
But one more thing, I tried to listen to that Paul Ryan, and I just don't get him. I think he's a terrible
speaker. That's because you're sane, Juanita. I mean, you've got to have corkscrews in your brain or eating, you know, huffing gasoline or something before Paul Ryan makes sense.
Yeah. People do huff gasoline.
No, or, I don't know, maybe sniffing magic markers or something.
No, they do huff.
Oh, no, I know they do. Believe me, I know.
Yeah, they do. I didn't know that.
I mean, this is
this is the psychiatric hospital a couple of years, and we had kids there that was a new one on me.
Oh, and the magic markers too, and nail polish, and I mean,
and
this is the state that has Jesco White in it. So, no, we've learned about things you can do to rot your mind that we never even dreamed of here, Juanita. It's the truth.
Well, you know, the conventions start end of this week.
Oh, I know. And
I'm gonna try to make myself watch them. That's what I usually do.
I might, if I can gird my loins with the armor of righteousness, maybe I'll watch the Repig Lickens. But if my loin, but Juanita, if my loins are ungirded, it ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, well, I tried to watch them today at a New Hampshire public meeting, whatever they call those things, and I said, okay, forget it. I just can't. I can't watch it. I just can't.
Yeah, I more than understand.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll let you go, and I wanted to call last week, and I didn't get to.
Well, I was only here for 2 days, so that made it a little bit more complicated.
Yeah. Okay, well, I didn't know how many days, but, you know, I haven't figured out how to figure out when you're not there.
You know, Jim just heard you, Juanita, and he just wrote in and he said, after killing that blue jay with a BB gun, my mama told me not to ever take away that which you cannot return.
Yeah.
True. Juanita, have a wonderful evening, and please keep us posted as you go through these travails, and because I know that that the Horn family will want to be thinking about you.
And we got working on a roof.
Oh, I know a little bit about that too.
Well, I finally got a permit.
Hot diggity. What did you have to do for that?
Jump through a lot of hoops. I finally found a sane person, you know, that didn't want to act like I was some kind of a criminal, which maybe I was. I don't know.
Nah, somehow I just can't see you as some kind of a criminal. But
you know. Well, in their eyes, you know.
Right.
Ask you the same thing. You know, when you watch those shows, they ask you the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
And, although I'm talking about police shows. Anyway, that was what it was, you know, no matter what I said. And I just said, well, all I know is I did what I was told to do, and now I'm being blamed for what somebody else didn't do.
Exactly.
But anyway.
Exactly. Well, hang in there and do keep us posted, Juanita.
All righty.
We just love you to pieces.
I love you. What is it? Love you to pieces. What's that other one that says?
I don't know. Wouldn't trade you for a farm?
No.
That's the one I heard growing up.
Yeah, well, anyway.
I understand.
Good night.
Take care, Juanita.
Farewell. Sweet Prince, parting such great sorrow.
That we should say adieu till it be morrow. Exactly.
Right. I like that.
Bye now,
okay.
Juanita.
Night-night.
Juanita calling from Florida with a real-world story of what it's like to try to deal with the attempt to vote and just life as folks, just folks. Jack writing in from Shreveport, he says, along the same lines as Republicans saying that a safety net will become a hammock, wouldn't inherited wealth become the same? Yet those with inherited wealth are still considered job creators and producers, while those using a safety net are looked down on. Republicans have also said that the less well-off or poor should be given the chance to have the pride of making it on their own. Shouldn't then the children of the wealthy be given the same opportunity? Well, says Jack, just a little more hypocrisy from the right. It's all they got. So we're going to take a little break and come back. Your phone calls are welcome. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel. If you want to save us the toll-free freight, 304-658-3333. Email comes in to Bob Kincaid, BOBKINCAID, @gmail.com. Jump on into the chat room if you want to. It's free, too. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com/chatroom. Let's see, an update on Adam's challenge. We need $59. $59 will meet that challenge. So hopefully that'll happen between now and the end of the program. I'm Bob Kincaid, and, well, I just love this song. It just kind of reminds me of, I don't know, where I am with, dealing with all these hate-filled morons. Because it is Moran Monday, you know. Right here on the home of Conversation Radio, The Horn.
I'm trying to be less polite. I'm saying what I really think. The president's a fool. I don't want to get up early, and I wish I had a good stiff drink. I'm trying to be less polite. I want to call a spade. I want to stop the war because I know the war will send too many children to an early grave. I'm trying to be loved.
it's preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Yeah, okay, so we're in the middle of the second hour of this Moran Monday edition of The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. And, you know, when you haven't played a song for a while, you forget some of the lyrics. I'd forgotten about that, the President's a Fool stuff. Will Kimbrough's Less Polite is still more than accurate, except for that President's a Fool part. Some on our side would even say that it still applies. And I think he's, in some ways, too smart for his own good, if you know what I mean. This is The Horn, Head On Radio Network. Listener-supported conversation radio. Moran Monday, and we haven't really gotten to all the underpinnings of our Moran Monday winner yet, Todd Akin. Although there's like a change.org petition out there telling him to resign. No! The Independent Women Voters, which is just a nasty little right-wing front group, independent my rear end. Just afraid to call it, they're ashamed to call themselves Republicans. They're calling for him to resign by tomorrow at 5 p.m., which is what would have to happen if Missouri Republicans want to get somebody else on the ballot. No! Don't! Todd! Don't! Don't! Keep telling us exactly what the Republican right is thinking, because he didn't misspeak. Please. He said exactly what was on what passes for his mind and was absolutely in his filthy little heart. He empathizes with rapists. Remember, he said that a sexual violence bill, he was afraid that it could be used as a means for a woman to beat up on the man. Really? This is not new. This does not exist in a vacuum. This is the same creep who said a week ago that we ought to eliminate the school lunch program and let the states administer it themselves. Can you imagine Alabama Stan administering its own school lunch program? Here's your cracker, kid. Don't ask for two. Four, please. My God. And as it is, you know, school lunches, you know, we feed kids downer cattle chili. It's not a joke. I remember covering the story. But let's continue onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Brother Bob.
Good afternoon, Brother Albert.
Oh, I'm telling you, you know, when Akin said that my wife had ways, her body had ways, that really made me feel like she loved me. She didn't. You know?
Careful or we'll have to start, you know, what are you? You're already the sage of Southwest Wisconsin. You're after Preston's job now, too. You want to be the resident optimist. That's about the sunshiniest turn I've heard on this whole story.
Well, I was sitting there at first. I was really outraged about it. And, you know, because it's such an outrageous thing to say.
See what it,
magic
yeah.
way. I know the magic ways of women's bodies. They have ways of identifying the sperm that got there violently and against her will, and then her body would handle it. That never happens. Legitimate rape never results in pregnancy. And I kind of thought about it. If he's right, then my wife really loves me. And I'm not a violent, you know, sexual predator. And, you know, I'd have to say neither is Julian Assange, who guys like Aiken just can't wait to slip into some prison ship off the coast of Maryland, right?
Right. You know, where he can be waterboarded like he deserves.
That's right, you know, and his big crime is the condom broke during a consensual sex act, so he's a rapist or something.
Yeah, but you know what? There is so much behind all of that, Albert.
Oh, yeah, I know. We know.
I mean, it turns out that one of the women making the allegations is a... and this is not an attack the woman moment. It's not. But it turns out that she's a functionary for the Swedish intelligence apparatus.
Mm-hmm. AKA Honeypot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she convinced the other one, and it was like a little triangle going on there, and he didn't want to commit, and so that hurt her feelings. And let's be real, it wasn't rape. It was consensual, they admitted. And if it's consensual, it's not rape.
But the underlying stuff, and Andy was pointing out to me that the best place to read the lowdown on a lot of this is over at the blog Legal Schnauzer. Everybody knows how to spell legal. Everybody knows how to spell Schnauzer. Legal Schnauzer has a breakdown on a lot of this that goes back to the seamier side of a former justice ministry minister and some really skullduggerous doings inside the right-leaning government of a Swedish prime minister. I'm guessing by mentioning Sweden, we'll probably get the lowdown from Scott on this in the next couple of days.
Good. Yeah, because that's, you know, it's so ridiculous. You know, the fact that he's even in the embassy to start with, and you know, if they've got something, you know, what you just don't like your dirty laundry out there, and you don't like the fact that I don't know. I think in the end of the day, the world's going to be a better place because of WikiLeaks. It is at the end of the day. You know, transparency doesn't come as fast as we want it, and in the age of the internet, we want it now. You know, not later, not tomorrow, now. You know, and that's one thing about, sometimes President Obama has been a fool. You know, Will Kimbrough's right. You know, it applies to him. He has been a fool regarding how many times he bent over backwards when he should have been kicking these Republican beasts in the mouth. I mean, yeah, you know, you can put a steel-toed shoe on and get some of them, you know, those big fangs out there and kick a few of those out, because look what they did. And we called this on the horn in 2004, 2005.
Yeah, and you got to wonder, Albert, is the cabinet secretary, the secretary of Barack, is he working overtime? Are the lamps burning late in that office? Because if you don't... I hope somebody has told President Obama about this policy statement by the Virginia Republican Party. Are you aware of this?
Which one? Or just refresh.
The Virginia Republican Party put out a little newsletter that has subsequently disappeared, of course, that says that if the Republicans don't win the election in November, it is time for, and Tim from L.A. Pointed this out to me, I think, Or maybe it was Horst, one or the other. But if the Republicans don't win in November, it is therefore time for, their words, not kidding, armed revolution. That's a state. That is the official policy arm of a state political party calling for guns to be drawn, Albert.
I know. It's
kind of weird. Virginia had to be dragged kicking and screaming into the Confederacy. You know, Alabama and Mississippi and South Carolina, they all jumped out there and said, oh, we're seceding. And Virginia had to sort of be brought along. Not this time. No. I mean, even Alabama stands, the Republican Party doesn't have an armed revolution statement. That's scary stuff.
It's supremely insulting.
I mean, who are they going to take? Are they under the impression that the United States military is going to side with Virginia? Do they think that we're back to Robert E. Lee committing treason all over again?
Yeah, I mean, and there may well, very well be a few generals that would do something like that in this kind of, yeah, I mean, there are some, we do have some crazed generals out there, don't we not? I mean.
Anybody remember Stanley Boykin? Our God was bigger and stronger than their God?
Yeah, you know, there are, but at the same time, how, I mean, I don't know, who are you going to kill? Who are you going to kill? You know, like, sometimes I think they also think that, you know, because the Reds part of the country is bigger, like, you know, in overall size, that they have more.
Realistically, Albert, they do have more guns.
Well, yeah, but you can only fire one at a time.
That's true.
And you know, if you, and, you know, you can have a gun, you can have whatever you want, you know, you can do it, whatever. You start shooting on military people, and even if they are sympathetic to you, and if they're Ron Paul military, you know, guys, they will...
No, oath takers or oath keepers or whatever those weirdos are.
Well, you're firing on them. You're firing on their brothers in arms. They're going to shoot back at you.
And they have the kind of automatic weapons where you squeeze the trigger and 100 rounds go out. Once. It's not like you get a thing and you pull. No. They got the good stuff.
They got the do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
They got the kind of stuff, and I saw the video over the weekend, and, oh, it was horrifying. You may recall Sandra talking about the horror in South Africa. She sent along the video. I got to watch the video. And, you know, here are these striking miners who are a good 50 yards away, and the cops just open fire with automatic weapons and just mow them down like wheat in a field. 34 dead, 78 maimed. Because those machine guns, they really do what they are billed as capable of doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You know,
I think we ignore things like the Virginia statement at our peril, because you can't just take these things alone, Albert, and I know you have a brand new reason, or on the way to being brand new reason, for being concerned. You've got to take it in context with Hank Williams screaming at a crowd in Iowa about, "We hate him," and Dave Mustaine saying that he arranges murders. Okay, it is getting hot. I don't know how many people realize it, but it is getting hot.
Mm-hmm. But nonviolence, you know, if they really had something to say, they could say it nonviolently, and it would gain traction. And the minute that they start any kind of... They can't.
No, that's what the upshot of all these threats of violence are. It's, shut up, we cannot compete with you in the marketplace of ideas... Shut up, or we will shoot you.
Yeah.
Which is, of course, the essence of fascism, correct?
Exactly. Oh, absolutely. And in today's day and age, it's not going to fly. It won't fly. It just, the gravity's changed. And I'm exposed to a lot of teenagers and, you know, young people, 20, you know, somethings and stuff, and I don't have to tell them anything. They know. I don't have to tell them about half the crap that I even know, because that I've been saying for years. And other people, you know, it's like the collective mind knows. They're not buying it. Yeah, they're not super happy with Obama, but none of us are. But we also understand what kind of, you know, a fecal storm he walked into. We know the mess. We saw where the road was going beforehand. Even if, you know, some of these youngsters weren't even paying attention, they knew it wasn't right. They understand that he didn't put $15 trillion in debt, that he didn't release smallpox, that he didn't invade Poland, that he, you know, didn't crucify Jesus, that he didn't do these things, that they always blame him for everything. They blame him for everything. He's the fault of everything. Anything that's ever happened, he's done because of his time machine. And nobody believes that nonsense. Hank Williams, who the hell listens to Ted Nugent? Get out of here, Chuck Norris.
And by the way, let's add one to the list. Ray was telling me earlier today via email, Arlo Guthrie's gone to the dark side, too. I didn't know that.
City.
We will never play Alice's Restaurant on the night before Thanksgiving again. We'll have to just get by with telling the story of Agnes at the Kroger's.
Yeah, I mean, John Lovitz, and who else you lose? The Jackson, Victoria Jackson, and I mean, what an all-star cast. You should just, I mean, what? Oh, my God. Imagine if you made shakes out of these people. The brains that you would have. It would be like a nootropic or something, and you'd be the smartest person on the planet. I mean, get out of here with these freaks. They don't know nothing about anything. And to pretend that, you know, Barack Obama is invading other countries and is a warmonger and this, and he's got armed blah, 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 blahs, and, you know, he's just trying to take our guns away. When the only thing he's really done was say we should have a common sense dialogue. He allowed weapons into national parks. And that's it.
Yeah, weapons into national parks.
You know, I mean, think of the shootings that we've had, and we all know. You called it how long ago with regards to what it was going to do to him. He's been, what, the most threatened president in the history of this republic.
Yeah, I said that when we found out what his Secret Service code name was. Renegade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had a congressman. Congresswoman almost assassinated, along with other people. You know, we've had some crazy, 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 crazy stuff going down.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah. They're paying attention now, because I guess there was some problem at the headquarters of the Family Research Council, and okay. So Tony Perkins ran right out. You know, Harmon ran right out and said, "Well, this is the fault of the Southern Poverty Law Center. This is what happens when you label organizations as hate groups." But oddly enough, he missed it. You know, he missed the memo on, Glenn Beck fomenting an attack on the Tides Foundation that was only foiled because dude had to get liquored up first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he missed that whole attack on the Tennessee Valley Unitarian Universalist congregation. He missed that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he missed Gabby Giffords, and he missed Aurora, Colorado, and he missed Columbine. But, no, we need to... Right.
Holocaust Museum, I mean, it continues. You know, the Olympics in Atlanta, I mean, it's constant, and it's a stream. You know,
yeah, and he doesn't get any international news, so he knows nothing about Anders Breivik.
Yeah, Anders Breivik, you know, who now has a...
Because, you know, we all know he was a liberal.
Yeah, he was a liberal, wasn't he? Yeah, he's a real liberal, with his fascist salute in the courtroom, and his maniacal... It's just constant. It's constant, constant, constant. There's almost too much that you can't even remember them all.
But, you know, Sandra said something the other night that has resonated with me. She said, just wait till the black folks start buying guns, and lots of them. Then we'll see some common sense firearm control reform.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What? What? Ain't that the white people got the... Wait, white people ain't the only ones got guns? Oh, we got to do something about that.
Yeah.
And again, we take all of this in context, Albert, when you can consider what happened, you know, what happened in Ohio with that jackass. The fact that Democratic members of the Ohio Election Board were removed for supporting voter rights, and the Republican in charge said, we can't have these expanded voting hours just to make it convenient for black people.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he didn't even claim he said blah people.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, well, I told you, the mask is off. The mask is off. They will reveal everything that's in their hearts with their mouths and their actions. And it's clear and obvious. And all we have to do is say, see how crazy they are? See this? See, do you see what they're doing? Do you see what he just said? Like, oh, yeah, it's already part of it. It's already part of the entire lexicon. It's their foundational belief now that money equals speech and corporations are people, my friend. You know, he's just saying what it is. You know, money is speech. All animals are equal. Some animals more equal than others. And that's okay. You know, poor people can just buy more money. Why can't they just buy more money? I like money, though. You know?
Yeah, it's all just a video game. You know, you acquire some experience points and you go buy more money.
Yeah, you just buy more money. Why can't you just buy more money? And, you know, we'll go to Starbucks later.
Now, Albert, I don't think we've got time for that.
But it is. But it's 2-for-1 lattes. You know,
caramel macchiato, half soy, with extra foam.
And isn't it though? Isn't it though? Every move they make, what traction? Every move they make, they can't even admit to. Well, who's Ayn Rand? Mr. Paul says.
Yeah, what? Right? Never heard of her.
Oh, she's an atheist. Oh, horror.
Except for the fact that Paul Ryan's running around saying stuff's in the Constitution that's not, but does happen to be in her books.
Mm.
There's that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, they don't. They do. They're not. You know, and that's what I mean when they call for, arm insurrection. They're not American. That is an anti-American statement. France saying, we're not going to back you in this particular war because we don't really feel like getting stuck in this quagmire. Afghanistan we get, Iraq we're not doing. Oh, goddammit, freedom fries and freedom toast and we're going to rename France on the maps. Anti-American French effing blah, 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 blah. Insurrection. You lose an election, that's anti-American. I mean, when you sit here...
Well, it's kind of treason. It's sort of treason.
Yeah, that's anti-American as it gets. We're not liberal. Why? Because we want health care for everyone? Because we don't want people getting bankrupt because they got a friggin' health care bill that's, $80,000 or whatever? We don't. We want everybody to be covered and taken care of, and we want regulations, keep our drinking water clean and maybe a little less mercury floating around in the air. And, we're anti-American because of that? Because we want our, what? What? Because we're trying to conserve the environment that we have, the ecosystem that sustains our life. We're anti-American? No. You're calling for armed insurrection. You're calling for civil war. You call for death camps. For homosexuals, and you call for these things. They're not death camps. We'll feed them. We just won't let them breathe.
Oh, we'll feed them.
Yeah, we'll feed them. Just none of that, commingling. We don't need any more of them little bastards running around. that's anti-American. You are anti-American. Oh, black people, why should we make it easy for them to vote? Them? They're your fellow citizens, you dummy, you stupid idiot. To limit the vote, we should expand voting. 3 days on the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Mandatory.
Vote. Everyone should vote, period. I mean, I'm getting to...
But you realize, Albert, that if there was mandatory voting and it was easily accessible, no Republican would ever get elected again.
Not when they say the crazy shit they do, but it might make them come up with some, viable ideas, maybe. Just maybe. Maybe one good idea. And no, Flint.
There you go with that optimism talk again. We've talked about this now.
So just, here's your bill. put the two under the scanner. I don't have a tattoo.
Unscannable.
And, come on. That's what it would force. And that's what they're afraid of. Because we all know who pulls the strings with the pig lickings. We've known for years, and now everyone else is starting to really see. The more that they squeeze, the Princess Leia quote, the more they squeeze, the more slips through their fingers. And that's what's going on. Yeah, all right. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, ostracize a third of the country. Yeah, don't let that third of the country vote. And you say you don't want to go back in time? Oh, but we should remove the Fed. Oh, okay.
And by all means, let's rely on 13th century concepts of rape. that's before the Magna Carta.
That's historic.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
this
God.
It's in the Bible.
Right. Voting ain't.
There's two, right?
Ain't no voting in the Bible. We don't want no non-biblical the government.
No, but they explain rape, though. What is rape? What isn't rape? You know, it's open to interpretation. What about how does a man feel in that, in this whole process? How where's his rights? You know, that's next. What about the rapist? What about
next? It's already been done.
Mm.
Oh. It was done by Todd Akin. Yeah. Well, I'm afraid this bill could be used as a means for the woman to beat up on her husband.
And, you know, I mean, as the father of a couple of young uteruses, I want the government so big that it can't fit into their uterus. And that's how it should be. And I'm going to work every day of my life and scream my head off so it stays out.
You know what? I think you may have just come up with an image that the whole country could, or well, most folks. I mean, we're excluding Fundies and Brian J. Fisher and people. But no, that's what they want. You know how they talk about they want the government small enough to drown at the bathtub? No, they want the government small enough to fit into a vagina.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Uterus.
That's it.
Make sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. To make sure that woman isn't her body. It doesn't have those ways to, you know, terminate that fetus. Because that fetus is a human being. And corporations are people. And money equals speech. Right?
Right.
I mean, they are Orwellian.
But the beautiful thing, and the person who pointed this out, and I have so much respect for him, I've read him for so many years, the Rude Pundit, just took the skin off of Paul Ryan today. But along the way, he said, Akin said that, I mean, he said he misspoke. God, I hate that word, Albert. I hate it.
Yeah.
So he asked, what the F did Akin mean to say? One, I meant to say that rape sperm is too angry to inseminate an egg.
That he has a B? Does he have a wide stance?
Two, I meant to say that vaginas are like snapping turtles that will bite off a rapist's penis. Three, I meant to say forcible rape, you know, like Paul Ryan believes. Let's see. Here's my personal favorite is number five. By legitimate rape, I meant a rape that happens because of Obamacare, which is raping the future of our children. Wait, that probably didn't help, did it? And then the other thing is, I meant to say that I support a personhood amendment, you know, like Paul Ryan does. It's pretty much just as evil and ignorant, but it sounds less asshole-ish. But that's the thing. The fact of the matter is, this is no longer about Todd Akin, because at one point in time, Paul Ryan offered such a glowing statement in support of Todd Akin that he had to come back and clarify and say, well, I'm not endorsing him or anything. I mean, I'm just saying this. Let's see, what is it? Todd Akin, this is the statement. Todd Akin has been a great asset to the House Budget Committee. His principled approach to fiscal responsibility is exactly the kind of leadership America needs, and I appreciate his hard work. Well, it is time for Paul Ryan to step up and own that.
Yeah.
Because,
you know,
Paul Ryan was on the forcible rape language.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember when that came out. I'm sure you do too.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, Brother Bob, I didn't realize how bad of a pick Paul Ryan was until he was picked. I forgot a lot of his little skeletons. I didn't realize he had been around so long.
And now, I was looking at Bart Kopp earlier today, Albert, and he had a link to some right-winger, okay? A right-winger saying that Paul Ryan is on the ticket because he was bought onto the ticket by the Koch brothers, who promised if they put Paul Ryan on the ticket with Romney, that they would pump another $100 million of outside spending, you know, Citizens United spending, into the campaign.
Well, you know, they can do that. They can have their little their new Swift boat ads of, you know, special operations. How dare the president say he had something to do, even though the generals, you know, the admiral, right, the admiral of whatever the group said, no, that was President Obama's call, and he's the one that said go after Bin Laden. You know, and yeah, right, no, I know.
Oh, by the way, Michael just wrote in and awarded you a toaster tonight for his, you want the government big enough to not be able to fit in a uterus. So you've got that going for you. He also said the heavy metal, talking about Dave Mustaine and his, you know, Obama's setting up these murders to get our guns. They're all just, can we not just build a bar that's one long end of the bar? And just put them all down there. Man, where's the birth certificate? FEMA camps. But Michael says the heavy metal historians in the audience will get this one. After Dave Mustaine's Singapore rant, I'm just waiting for his conspiratorial brain to start blaming Barack Obama, because, you know, he's got that time machine you were talking about, blaming Barack Obama for having him kicked out of Metallica 30 years ago. And he added, Arlo's been a family values Republican since at least the W. Bush years. Did he jump the shark recently? No, Ray just turned me on to that. I was like, no, because you can't keep up with the ones that come out all stupid.
Yeah.
Because if you spend all your time keeping up with celebrities who've gone over to the dark side, I hit the high notes. I can't watch Everybody Loves Raymond in reruns anymore because that awful Patricia Heaton's a wing nut. And I won't even... See, that's the thing. We have to understand. I won't even support her. Support them with my eyeballs.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. How can you, you know, listen to somebody who says such hateful shit? It's hateful. They're hateful people. I mean, and you know they are because they're afraid. They're afraid of everything, and they're always so fearful. And what you know, and they're feeding the dark wolf, the black wolf. They're feeding the evil wolf all the time. You know, they don't have a whole lot of, you know, there's not a whole lot of good and care for their fellow man in their hearts. And when they start talking about my money and my this and my that and, you know, blah, 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 guns and armed revolution, I can't respect somebody who says that. I can't respect somebody. When I have a fellow citizen, I had some guy try to say, oh, it was Civil War. I blew up on him. Because what he's saying right there is, I don't agree with you and I want to kill you.
Yeah, I'm willing to. I disagree with you politically, and I'm willing to kill over it.
And I can't wait to kill you. I can't wait for the Civil War. I mean, it's outrageous. That's so outrageous to me. Well, you know, it's like, well, granted, I don't know what makes you think you'll win. You can't even, you know, hold your own in a battle of ideas or in a conversation. With, you know, I mean, I'm telling you, like, they literally become completely unhinged the minute you give them any resistance. And they,
I mean, what are these dumb bastards going to do when they march on Washington? Do they think that the Secret Service is just going to sit there and say, yeah, okay, string him up. What the fuck? Now, why not? Oops, I mean, I let one fly there. Sorry.
It was quick. But, you know, this is where they bring us. This is where they take us. They take us into this just bizarro world of no, it's not happening. It's not happening. And just because you can't formulate an argument against what exactly has President Obama done that you didn't like? Oh, he gave us $15 trillion in debt. That's not true. Bop, 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 bop.
Well, all right. Breathing while black. That's what I don't like. Yeah. Breathing while black.
They, I mean, I've talked to and had been in, you know, heated discussions where they can't even hold on to $15 trillion, you know, they can't even say some nonsense like that without flipping into, you know, he's an N-I, blah, 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 he's a effing nigger, blah, blah. That's all they say. And it's like, wait a minute, whoa, he hates white people. What? What? What are you talking about? How stupid are you? Look how stupid you are. Look how stupid you are. You can't even call this guy the president. What you call, all you do is you call him a racist name. That's ridiculous. Look at yourself. Just look and listen to yourself.
And lo and behold, I mean, you make a profoundly important point because over on MSNBC, a commentator named Touré,
mm-hmm.
was talking with Melissa Harris Perry on The Cycle, and he has since had to tender an apology. The apology goes as follows. On yesterday's show, in discussion about the presidential race, I used a word to make a point. In retrospect, I muddied the discussion by using the N-word, he said at the end of the opening segment. I could have made my point without that word. I shouldn't have used it, and for that, I'm sorry. Now, here's the context that he said it in, all right? Now, we have said, and many others have said, and it was proven repeatedly by Rick Santorum, among others. Remember, I said blah person, or Obama was an anti-war, pro-government nig. You know, it is so close to the surface with these people sometime between now and November, they're just going to bust out in some racist Tourette's, okay? Yep. And it's going to, and I'm not going to say it. But here's what Tourette said. He said that Willard Romney is, quote, trying to use racial coding and access some really deep stereotypes about the angry black man. I know it's a heavy thing, he said. I don't say it lightly, but this is niggerization. And, of course, a total freakout was fomented and fostered by the Drudge Report, of course, and right-wing news outlets. How dare he? Right?
Thou dost protest too much.
Well, he can't. See? He took. Yeah. Oh, we were going to use that word.
Never. We don't. We're not racist. It just comes out sometimes when we sneeze.
Right. I meant to say blah.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you mean? these people. Oh, God.
I know. All I can tell you is that fall's coming, and I don't know. At what point in Wisconsin, Albert, do you stock up on the brandy for winter?
Now. Right now.
What start?
Yeah. Oh, my. I mean, especially now that Paul Ryan, it's a gift, and, as everything's got two edges, so, this one's got two edges, and I don't think, I still believe Barack Obama is going to be the next president of the United States again, and we certainly could use it, because, they just ended on some good news. MIT just did a study on geothermal energy, and they say within the next 50 years, we could have 100,000 megawatts of geothermal domestically developed power.
And it's a bunch of power.
It's so much power. Hang on. It's 2,000 times the amount of energy consumed in 2005 by the United States. 2,000 times the amount of energy consumed in 2005. That is what we need.
You think we could share it? I mean, you think we could share that technology with, say, India and China?
I think they're ready. They know that that's the direction they have to go into. I've been talking a lot about China lately because I'm not going to praise them. They are still, this crazy system. But I've seen how the Internet is dissolving them like a sugar castle. And it's, everything. It just comes out, the picture of all the cabinet ministers having their little swinger fest weekend and, the fact that, when an earthquake happens, it's already on YouTube before the Chinese government even knows. When they protested that coal power plant, all those rural people in, I forget the province, but they freaked out. They're like, no. We've already seen what has happened in the other provinces. It's destroyed these things. We do not want it. And what are they saying? Well, all right, we'll throw solar. We'll start doing the solar and renewables. So I'm going to I'm going to keep the door open for China that they are going to not be a first, strong power kind of country. They're going to continue with their soft power approach, that they're maybe going to start becoming a little bit more liberalized in their treatment and their civil government, that they're going to embrace the green technology because it's really the only thing that would, that's applicable. I mean, they know the coal. They can't continue the coal nonsense. And we saw that they're not going to be able to do it. Do they have magma underneath their feet? Yeah. Everywhere does. You know, I mean, there's so much energy in the crust of the Earth. It's 2 million zettajoules, which is, you know, we only use 0.2.
That's like past peta, right? I mean, there was it's tera, then peta, and
zeta is way out there. It's, you know, beyond quadrillion and quadrillion, whatever. It's almost the Googleplex territory. I mean, but it's a huge number, and it's something that we're a fool to not use. That's walking past gold. You know, the sun, to not embrace that and put solar panels everywhere is stupid.
Well, it's exotic, you know.
It's not, that's the same thing. Mitt Romney can go talk with all those coal miners. You know, we already know that even with the limited, the bare minimal effort that the government's been pushing with renewables, you know, there's a thing about progress. And progress is a virus. And once, you know, some of these Republican Iowa corn farmers, you know, once they get a couple windmills on their land and get a little bit of...
Well, I think we talked about it. The Republican governor of Iowa had to straighten Willard up. You know,
yeah.
What the are you talking about? We're going to end the wind tax subsidy.
Yeah, you fool. You can end the wind tax subsidy when we have so much excess electrons that we have to build, you know, skyscraper capacitors to store it.
Well, you know, yeah. I want that day that happened in Germany. I want, excuse me, everybody, turn on everything electrical in your house right now. We got to drain off some electricity. We've just got too much wind and solar created electricity here.
Mm-hmm.
It's running over. I mean, there's sun energy just spilling out and the wind turbines, I mean, you know, I want that day.
It's happening, Brother Bob. I mean, it's going to happen. It has to happen. We're going to have to have high-speed rail. We're not going to be able to put a space elevator out with a big, giant carbon nanotube cable. Well, why can't we use, you know, where the Navy is already shipping out the maglev war vessel, right, with the rail cannons on it. You know, that's coming here in next spring. Which then is, you know.
Well, how much longer until Van's prophecy comes true? Hi, Van.
Hi, Van.
You know, the one where he said we'll have lithium battery powered tanks.
I think you know the power in an electric motor. Electric motor has the torque, has this train torque. I mean, if that's the motor to use, and, you know, talking about batteries, and I just got to say, because, you know, the Tesla Model S is coming out, and if you haven't seen this car, that thing's ridiculous. It seats 7 and does 0 to 60 in 4 seconds. It goes from 20 to 100 in 3, and it gets a 300-mile range. Now, that's an expensive car today. But we're looking at in the next few years that the price of that battery pack to drop, you know, 80%, they're saying. You know, with the technology that's coming out with these lithium batteries and so on and so forth, we haven't even stepped into the carbon. Once we start addressing and implementing carbon into these batteries, that's it. There won't be any more internal combustion engines. I was trying to explain this to my girls yesterday, or the other day, when we went to the store. I was trying to explain to them, you know, because I'm excited about the Model S. I'm excited about Tesla. Tesla's really changing the dynamic, and yeah, I know, they're not performing like everyone. Yeah, they're making expensive cars, but you can't buy an S. You cannot get one. They're all sold out. You can't get one. Even if you win the Powerball, you can't get one. You know,
you're going to have to buy it used.
You're going to have to wait. And, and that's the thing. You know, we even saw back in the 90s when the people with the EV1, they didn't even want to give those up. You know, they're fun cars to drive. People, you know, think, you know, sometimes with the electric cars that they're going to be dull. And, you know, you get in a Model S and it flips your head through the...
No, I can guarantee you they're not. I mean, we've had those rhapsodic emails from Ray and Kim talking about their drive from Michigan to Florida in their Chevy Volt. And you know what? Here's an interesting sign. We were out toddling around over the weekend. You know me. I'm you know, I got I've got the redneck look, go to the car lot, look at cars gene.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I just we were over in Somersville, West Virginia, which is about 20 miles from here. And I pulled into the Chevy lot and I said, just wanted to look at a Volt.
Mm.
Sorry, buddy, ain't got one. Really, they're selling that poorly. No, can't keep them on the lot. They're gone as quick as they get here.
Yep.
In West Virginia.
Yep. Yeah, it was their highest selling car in this past quarter. They sold more Volts than anything else.
Yep, indeed.
And that's, I mean, and if we start using the school's researches like MIT and Stanford, you know, Stanford already, they're putting, you know, you can wirelessly charge up the car as you're driving down the freaking highway. And that would be a great way to, you know, shed some excess electrons. We need to secure the electron. Coal can't do it. Gas can't do it. It's done it before. But, it, you know, coal is what, a 7th, 15th century, you know, fuel? You know, oil is what, a 18th, 19th century fuel? You know, we need the sun. You know, they knew even then. Edison knew, and, you know, as for the tinkerer that he was, I wouldn't call him the best inventor, but he was a good tinkerer. He even knew that coal and gas wasn't going to last forever, that we need to harness the sun. You know, it, once the sun goes out, boom. You know, and that's the other thing. You know, the Volt's awesome. I'd love to get me a Volt. I'd get a Volt in a heartbeat. You know, I want an electric motor. I want to be able to take every dollar that I go and I spend on, you know, transportation. When you buy an electric motor that's 90% efficient, well, 90 cents of that dollar is going to your travel. 10% is going to, you know, just maintenance and excess loss and what have you. But when you're using a gas-powered motor, what, they're 30% efficient? A really good one is 33, 35, 36 maybe? Come on, you know, that's not feasible. That's not a, you know, that you're wasting 70 cents. And my kids even, no, I wouldn't want to waste 70 cents.
Yeah, that's the kind of thinking that gets you, well, that's the 13th century thinking that comes to you. And remember, since Todd, you know, we don't want to run too far afield from him because he is tonight's winner, and we don't want him feeling lonely. That's the kind of stuff that Todd Akin advocates. Yeah, we can't remove these oil subsidies from the poor little oil companies.
Yeah,
I mean they're just barely getting by. and you'll love this though. He did announce today that he is not going to get out of the race. That he is, I'm in this to win. Because America needs a conservative Senate. Well, what the hell do they think the Senate is now?
Oh, dear goddess. Thank you, goddess of irony. Thank you.
Yeah, we liked it. We liked it when George Allen, we didn't like it, but when George Allen had his macaca moment.
Mm.
Well, this is Todd Akin's macaca moment.
Yeah, and they just keep getting more and more and more grotesque.
Now, the question is, will the for-profit media start asking the same questions that we've been putting forward this evening? For instance, Representative Ryan, you considered Todd Akin a close ally and partner. You were even involved in the drafting of the forcible rape language a few months back. Tell us, Representative Ryan, since you want to be Vice President of the United States, how much you sponsored a personhood amendment, Representative Ryan. How much philosophical space is there between you and Todd Akin? I mean, could we slide a playing card between you, like, you know, because you're so close, like those blocks of stone in Cusco, Peru, you can't get a playing card in between them? Are you like that with him, Representative Ryan? And if you're not, explain to us how it is that you're not, because it sure seems like you are.
He is. And, you know, but back to the media aspect of it, you know, I think the media is starting, you know, look at HuffPost Live. And I see some real good similarities between the Horn now. You know, the HuffPost Live is doing what you have been doing, what Tom Hartman did. And, you know, it's kind of doing it, and it's got good reception. You know, you got Aaron Brockovich out there calling bullshit on the fracking issue. You know, you got people having, you know, excellent commentary, asking excellent questions in the media, and because it's such a drought, it's getting, you know, it's starting to spread, and we all know how these ideas go, so maybe the mainstream for-profit media will, you know, start getting influenced by it. You know, start seeing, oh, that's a dollar, that's a good dollar right there, that truth dollar. You know, we better go after that dollar.
And we even worked in the reference to the prophet Bill Hicks. Peace be upon him.
Indeed.
Albert, have a wonderful evening, brother.
You too. Be good.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
He really is the sage of Southwest Wisconsin. That is Brother Albert. Onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. It's... live in South Carolina.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, glad to have you back. Brother, we miss you.
Well, thank you kindly.
Yeah, and all of our good friends. I will tell you, my hair was on fire last night when I read about this Todd Akin thing. I'm serious.
Should we really? I mean, but in light of his history, should we really have been that surprised?
Yeah, but we didn't know who this butthole was because he was such a backbencher until he showed his penis head.
Well, I mean, it was a week ago that he was drawing thunderous applause from little right wing crowds of right wing Missourians, and we need to cancel out the federal free lunch school lunch program. I mean, huh?
And even I did not know about that bullshit. You know, that was nowhere on anybody's radar except for you and you know, the smart people at the Horn.
You know? Well, I didn't manage to get on the it just didn't make it. It didn't make it into this discussion, and I'm kind of ashamed of myself now, Lib, because maybe we wouldn't be sitting here. He said, what? We wouldn't be doing that now. This guy's a freak. He was always a freak. And the thing is, maybe, and this is kind of important because we need to understand, again, these things don't happen in a vacuum. He didn't just go in front of a TV camera a couple of days ago and decide to be a total horse's ass. There's a history here. There's one story I read today by Kate Shepard over at Mother Jones. I love her writing. She is awesome. This rape theory of the magical properties of the offended vagina has been around at least since 1998, or at least before since 1998. Now, I don't do math on the fly real good. We know that. But that's 14 years ago. Okay? It is 14, is it, right? Oh, no. Yeah, okay.
Don't make me do math.
Yeah, so down in Arkansas, Faye Boozman...
Oh, surprise, surprise.
Yeah, Faye Boozman, okay. You know, I can't make these names up, was running for Congress as a Republican... No, she was running for Senate in Arkansas in 1998 when she started talking about the miraculous rape sperm rejecting powers of the human vagina. She described it, not kidding. You sitting down, Lib? Because you're going to want to be.
I better be.
Yeah, she described it.
My BP is, my blood pressure has still not come down since last night, so go ahead. You know.
Yeah, in 1998, Faye Boozman described the human vagina's ability to keep itself from getting pregnant as a result of rape. She described it as God's little protective shield. As if there's a miracle diaphragm that just appears in the vagina of a rape victim and... Right. God's little protective shield.
Woman?
Huh?
This was a woman who spouted this crap?
Yes. Well, I don't know. I'm a Faye? I mean, I guess there's some guys named Faye, but...
Yeah. Well, my message on Twitter all day today is you know, Todd Akin should refrain from legislating women's rights until after he grows a vagina.
Right. When you've got
one,
you'll have... Yeah, you'll...
But
here's the best part. Here's the best part.
Street cred.
Back in 1998, Faye Boozman denied she called it God's little protective shield. And then she sort of backtracked and said, well, what keeps the woman from getting pregnant after she's been all raped and stuff is an adrenaline rush.
Excuse me?
Yes. God's little protective shield is an adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Here's what they say. Throw these Republicans.
Here's what they say over at Physicians for Life. You ready for this? I'm telling you, you want to be sitting down. In cases
I just got email from Jude.
In cases of rape, the rate of pregnancy is actually very rare. This is due to several factors which may affect conception. The victim is in immense emotional shock, and her body in turn is affected. Statistics show that the rate of miscarriage is higher in these circumstances. A major factor contributing to the rare occurrence of conception in cases of rape is psychological trauma. Stress has been known to alter bodily functions, the menstrual cycle included, and in order for a woman to conceive, a complex blend of hormones must be formed. The production of these certain hormones is easily affected by emotions, in which, of course, the rape itself factors greatly. Hence, the chances of actual conception, ovulation, fertilization, implantation for the rape victim are considerably lowered. That's Physicians for Life.
Sounds really scientific.
Wouldn't you? I mean, if you found out that your doctor was a member of Physicians for Life, wouldn't you go looking for another doctor?
Well, let me tell you something. When my mom was 13 years old and she got raped, it didn't work out very well for her. And
I don't know many that do.
My brother was born that year. Okay? So, and she's just over 70 now. And she is a very messed up person because of what she has gone through.
Jesus.
I can tell you firsthand, it ain't no fucking joke.
No.
And this boy's, these people's science is such a load of fucking horse shit. Thank you for allowing me to.
Well, some things beg for, there are some words that just beg to be used in certain circumstances, and I try to leave that to you guys.
And I do thank you for that. This platform. I love all you guys. I learn so much from you and Sandra and Jim and Jude and, you know, Sparky, Lottie. You know, you guys are good.
Well, I learned too. Oh my God, Faye, by the way, we got a pronunciation correction here. It's Bozeman. It's spelled B-O-O-Z-E-M-A-N. It's pronounced Bozeman. But Fritz, who is our correspondent from Arkansas, says Faye Bozeman is deceased, but his brother, John Bozeman, Republican, is one of the current U.S. senators from Arkansas. He defeated Blanche Lincoln, Dino, in 2010.
Oh, boy.
So you never know where this stuff is going to crop up. So Faye was, of course, a guy.
Okay.
But if Faye talked that crap, what do you reckon that's gone around the Thanksgiving table a couple of times and old John believes it too? But our for-profit media will never.
I can state it this way: more pricks legislating vaginas.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. And they're all GOP.
Yeah. It's mind-boggling. But to the point, this needs to be taken into account. I mentioned Faye Bozeman there, but I mentioned it on the show a couple of weeks ago. The spiritual mentor of Todd Akin was a smiley, smarmy grifter by the name of D. James Kennedy. You may remember him. He created that poisonous offshoot sect of the Presbyterians, and he founded something called Coral Gate Gable Ministries. I always called it Coral Snake Ministries. And we have to understand, Lib, we have to understand all the way down to our toenails that people like Todd Akin don't have original ideas. These things are out there because there are literally millions or perhaps tens of millions of dollars that go into supporting vast ideological sewer pumps that just pump this stuff into the American body politic. I mean, we've got the 13th century reference, Lib. We've got the Physicians for Life.
I wish that they would call it what it really is. It's the Neanderthal Association.
I think that's really unfair to Neanderthals.
Okay.
Data out there to suggest that the Neanderthals were not the idiots we thought they were. No, this is a particularly bad strain of Homo sapiens. Let me just lay on you a little D. James Kennedy.
Okay.
He once penned a tome called Abortion, Myths and Realities. It's always a guy writing. I know all about abortion, right? You know, I've been in the stirrups.
Yeah, because
giddy up.
We're the experts.
Right. He says that when women talk about the results of right-wing attempts to criminalize abortion and women's reproductive health services generally, that they're being hysterical. And this is the quote, "We're told by some of the radical feminists that the women will become hysterical, that they will abort themselves with coat hangers. Because, you know, they're hysterical."
Right.
Let's see. Then he wrote another thing called Life, an Inalienable Right. He said, even if, talking about rape, of course, a guy speaking on behalf of his male god, even if they want to say the woman had some part in it, which in most cases they probably don't. Most cases, not all cases. Just most cases of rape, women don't have a part in the rape.
They were just the one on the bottom.
Yeah. Surely the baby did nothing wrong, so the only innocent party is killed, and the rapist often goes free. The immodest woman is contributing to the lust of other people. You know, when she wears the short skirt. Right. But we're not.
She asked for it.
But Liv, we're not done. He says that the Bible should determine the laws concerning rape and abortion. And this is not Wednesday, but Jesus, how do you get around this stuff? In the Bible, the child of rape was allowed to live, and the rapist was put to death. Today we find that the penalties against rape have become more and more lenient, whereas the child is now the subject of capital punishment. Remember a couple of weeks ago when Representative Steve King said kidnapping is legal in the United States and that nasty people frequently abduct little girls from swing sets, rape them, wait until they find out that they're pregnant, and then transport them across state lines to an abortion clinic? Yeah, this stuff has a certain provenance, if you will. Let's see. Justice has been totally destroyed and perverted in that the guilty are practically allowed to go free and the innocent are killed. And he goes on and he says he wants to rebuild America based on the Bible. That newly created life is as much the husband's as it is the wife's. Historically, it is interesting to note that when the Roman Empire did away with laws that allowed abortion, it was done not because of the woman or the harm that abortions were doing to women, and indeed they do vastly more harm. Notice that he worries about the harm that a woman suffers in an abortion, but talks about immodesty among women in rape. But because the husband was being defrauded of his progeny. Now, this guy is mercifully roasting in hell, if there is one. He's certainly enough to make me
hope
that there, wish that there is one. You know, I don't know. Maybe he's down there in a bath naked with Jerry Falwell or something.
Yeah. If there is a hell, he deserves it. Because that is just.
But we've got to get this all the way down into our psyche. This wasn't just some dumbass comment by a dumbass Republican trying to gin up a frenzy among his dumbass constituents. This is a concerted effort.
It is what they believe, however insane it is.
The Anti-Defamation League has recently coined a new term, and I'm all for it. I'm behind it. I'm going to use it. They refer to people like Aiken as Christian supremacists.
Oh, yeah.
And we need to, I'm certainly not trying to overemphasize this or be hysterical, you know, like the women folk.
Right, yeah.
But we've got to understand that this doesn't just come out of nowhere, and that it is a part, and perhaps we would do well to understand what part it is, that it is a part of an entirely overarching political philosophy that seeks to absolutely undo the entire American political system and replace it with a theocracy, okay? And what I mean by that
insanity.
Is this. The first thing, and you know, you can rely on the economists for this and the historians for this. They're all, you know, you can see that it's real. You have to destroy and defeat the rights of women to deal with the workings of their own bodies, get them out of the labor force, back into the kitchen, back into barefoot and pregnant, literally. And following that biblical admonition that wives are to submit unto their husbands, okay, you got to do that first. That's the first thing that has to happen. Once you can defeat women, I mean, and I'm talking about going, look, we've got right-wingers out there now, Lib, who actually say that it was a mistake to expand the franchise to women, to allow women to vote.
Right, voting.
Okay. Take away reproductive rights. Take away voting. Okay, boom, done. Now it becomes vastly simpler to go after the environment. It becomes vastly simpler to go after labor rights. Everything becomes simpler because arising out of the suffrage movement and the contraception movement, the reproductive rights movement, arising out of all of that came this vast feminine power that really did change the face of this nation, and they hated it then, and they hate it now, and they damned well intend to run us backwards until we live.
That is their whole plan. Platform. They want to take it back.
Yes.
I will tell you, I so proudly took my now 27-year-old daughter to go register to vote. And I felt so sorry for the black woman out of three women in the county office. She asked my daughter her race. Now, I am whiter than fucking white.
Castile soap, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm standing there beside her with my ponytail. And this poor black woman, I mean that metaphorically poor.
Yeah, you're not making a comment on the economics, I understand.
Right. And my daughter looked over at me and is like, Daddy, please don't go ballistic. Please don't go ballistic. I just want to get my voter card, okay? And the two white women in that office all had their heads down looking at their desk. And it's like, in South Carolina to register to vote, what the fuck does your race have to do with anything?
Everything in South Carolina and Florida and Alabama and Pennsylvania and everywhere that these god-awful voter suppression laws have been put into place. You know, it was just a week or so ago that Brad Friedman announced reported on the results of a 10-year study. There are less than 3 cases of actual fraudulent voting in this country per year. 3, not 300, not 3,000, 3. Not 3 per state, but 3 for the whole country. And yet that is allegedly and ostensibly the reason for enacting these draconian anti-voting statutes. I mean, look, did you hear Juanita's call? Did you hear what she's being put through just to get a new driver's license, just so she can get a voter ID?
And come to find out, they have changed the military ID cards. So now my military retirement card, which is stamped with indefinite on the expiration date, is no longer valid.
Jesus.
For all you veterans out there, you have to go back and get a new ID card with the biometrics and that bullshit.
Yeah.
Is this my country?
No, it's theirs. It's theirs, Lib. It's theirs.
I mean, this shit is just getting so insane. And they are trying to rob us of our democracy.
Well, I'll stop you there. I'll stop you there.
Okay.
If I could get our side to stop saying one thing, it would be that. Quit saying that this country is or ever has been a democracy, because it wasn't and it isn't. If anything, our side is trying to build one.
I stand corrected.
Well, I hope I didn't offend in saying that.
No. You're exactly right.
There are instances of actual democracy taking place, you know, town hall meetings in New England and stuff like that. But no, this is not. No, it wasn't conceived as one, and it is not executed as one. And I just cringe every time I hear somebody talking about our democracy, because democracy is something we should still be working toward, marching for. It is not something that has been taken away, because there is no golden age of democracy in this country, Liv. None. It isn't there. It's not historically supported. Democracy is something that happens when the people rule the state. Not some people, or a portion of people, or people with penises, or people with white skin. None of those things are elements of a democracy. And that day has never happened in this country.
If I can cut in.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I don't mean to soapbox on you, man.
No, you're on it, brother. You have got it. And the thing about it is that a democracy is the will of the people, or at least the majority of the people. And every time I hear, I won't vote for the lesser of two evils, well, then who the fuck are you going to vote for? You are going to vote for what is best for our country.
Understood. Understood.
I almost used the term democracy, but yes.
And you know, let's... You know how,
man. I apologize for stymieing you, because you were so on the rails, man.
No. Don't ever apologize. This is not filibobster radio. This is conversation radio. And
no, but you.
I just can't abide it. There are Democratic
and you corrected me rightly.
Don't think of it as a correction. Just think of it as an observation, because we all talk about democracy, but it seems that civically we have very little in the way of working knowledge.
We are
of what it is. I mean, there are little. It is as if democracy in the founding of this country was treated as part of a recipe. Okay, we're going to use some democratic principles, but we're not going to let, because if you followed, for instance, the PRISM series, you know that the Constitutional Convention was called precisely on account of democracy and not to foster it. It's as clear as a bell. Pennsylvania was busting out with democracy all over the place, and the wealthy people said, Jesus, if this takes hold, we're effed.
Holy shit. They had to be pooping in their pants.
I mean, this is the Constitution that those genius framers came up with. What's democratic about an electoral college?
Right.
If this country was founded on anything resembling democracy, the Electoral College would never have existed within that framework, because the Electoral College is the direct antithesis of democracy.
Amen.
It's easy enough. Yeah. Everybody vote, boom, you've got a president.
But we don't.
But they didn't want that.
Right.
They wanted the power elite to select the chief executive. They didn't want the Senate to be elected by the hoi polloi. They wanted
right.
the legislatures of the several states to select their senators. And that's another one of those things, and I think Aiken's probably in on it.
Oh, yeah.
Various teabaggers have come, we need to repeal, what is that, the 24th Amendment? I don't remember.
17th.
Yeah, we need to repeal the 17th Amendment and let the state legislature start appointing senators again like God and Jeebus intended, and the framers. You see? Hey, I got a roll, Lib, but it's been a great conversation. I hope I didn't walk all over you too much. I'm so sorry if I did.
Thank you so much, Bob. I needed to blow off some steam, because I was going to blow a gasket, man.
Ain't hard to do right now, and please just sort of tuck this away in your back pocket for when you need it. It is only going to get worse between now and November.
Oh, I totally believe.
Like Malloy says, watch your back, because as we see from Virginia and as we see from Hank Williams to those Coors Light breathed troglodytes in Iowa, as we see from that, they're itching for a reason to start shooting.
I will tell you straight up, the reason why I go by Lib in South Carolina or Liberal in South Carolina is because my house could burn down. You know what I'm talking about.
I do. I know people here in West Virginia who are engaged in the struggle against mountaintop removal. In fact, I heard this just last week. My husband and I can't go out together anymore, she said.
Yeah.
If one of us goes away, the other one has to stay home, because they'll burn us out. Can you imagine that? Now this is a couple, a lovely couple who've been married for umpteen years.
Actually,
and a husband can't take his beloved wife out to dinner because some coal thug might decide to burn them out? They've had 14 coal trucks in a line running up the little road in their holler that dead ends up the two houses up the holler, where there's nowhere for the coal trucks to be going to. It is simply the intimidation that is boiling to the top of all of these right-wing fascist thugs.
I know two people who have admitted to me that they have concealed carry weapons permits. One is Mike Malloy. The other one is my local friend who works with the NAACP, and she is black.
I used to carry.
I'm just saying.
I used to carry, Lib. I used to carry. I don't carry anymore.
I'm retired Army.
Because the fact of the matter is, we need to understand something, and you're retired Army, and then you know this darn good and well. A firearm is a far better offensive weapon than a defensive one. And if somebody decides to take a pot shot at me, I'm not going to get a chance to return fire. We're talking about a culture here that has 4.5 by 14 loopholed scopes on 30-06s.
Yeah.
But you cannot live in that state of fear and call whatever it is that you're doing living.
I refuse to. I fucking refuse. I will not do it.
But this that's not to say that it's not for somebody else.
Agreed. And like my friend.
Well, I had a discussion
with the NAACP. Hell yeah!
I had a discussion with Tim from LA earlier today about that whole Virginia Republican newsletter thing about armed revolution, and he said, you know, if you lefties don't like guns, you better learn to like them in a hurry. But you know what? I can't do a buy-in on that.
I'm not going to go there, but I will tell you that. That my friend here, she is not shy about letting people know.
Oh, no.
Hell yeah, I'm packing.
No. Bless your heart, Judy Bonds let the world know that she was packing. Because it served in that instance as a deterrent. But look at if you haven't seen it, go and see the raw video of those miners being gunned down in South Africa.
Mm.
How much difference would it have made had they had firearms?
What has not been covered on the fucking news?
Yeah. No. How much? Maybe they would have gotten a few rounds off, so there would have been. But no. I mean, that was done because one or two cops were killed. Okay, one or two cops were killed in a burning vehicle, so they gunned down 34 and maimed 78. Now, how much good would guns have done the other side there? You know, maybe it's time we go back and. No, it's not.
Yeah.
But I understand. I got to roll though, Liv. It's been a great conversation.
Thank you so much of your time, Bob. No worries. I didn't piss anybody off. You know.
I don't think you did.
I needed to vent. I needed to vent. Big
and I wound up venting all over you, so I apologize for that. But Liv, take care and have a good night, my friend.
And Cassandra, I cannot wait. to hear your explanation on, your views on these things. Thanks, brother. Bye bye.
No worries. Thanks, Lib. Liberal in South Carolina. David in South Carolina with an email sort of echoing what Lib said. He said, the air is combustible. The air is combustible here in South Carolina. Ron in Raleigh wrote in. I'll go back to the phones in a second. Ron in Raleigh wrote in. He said, Bob, I'm sitting here listening to you and the phone rings. It's the Republican National Committee inviting me to a Romney-Ryan victory rally this weekend. So do you think I should go? I'm sure I'd be welcomed with open arms. I have to RSVP, so I need to clear my calendar. You know, Ron, I really wouldn't. I am dedicated to the principle that since I know what happens to hornet's nests when you whack them with a stick, there's really not a hell of a lot of point in going and whacking hornet's nests with sticks to see if hornets still behave like hornets have behaved for thousands of years. Just saying. And a quick report. We are now $39 away from meeting Adam's challenge. I kind of hoped we'd have that taken care of by now, but we don't. So $39, and we meet Adam's offer to double that 100 when we get to that 100 mark. So just, well, if you can, the help really matters. PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com. So is the snail mail address under the tab Contribute. 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB, stands for Personal Mailbox, 318 Beckley, B-C-K-L-E-Y, WV 25801. And remember, please don't make checks out to Bob Kincaid. Bob Kincaid doesn't cash the checks. Make them out to the horn, or your money order to the horn, but not, please, not Bob Kincaid. Onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Bob. It's Mark calling from actually Georgia tonight.
Well, hey, Mark.
Yeah. Bob, I was listening to just the last few minutes of the show and listening to Liv's frustration as well as your own civilized frustration and response. But the individual just wrote in from South Carolina. I lived in Atlanta when I first got out of the service in 1990 and kind of familiar with just the overall sentiment of the city, some parts of the state. And I lived, of course, north of Atlanta, Woodstock is a developing area. Anyway, I would agree with the guy from South Carolina. You can feel something. I stopped and got gas, spent the night at a hotel on the way through the state of Georgia, and I had folks look at me kind of with, I don't know, you can almost feel something, like the gentleman saying from South Carolina. I would agree with that reality. I don't know, I've got a Martin Luther King license plate, so not everybody sees it, and very rarely do people go by and give me a thumbs up. It's a Florida tag, but any case, maybe people don't see that when they look at me. You know, I'm a tall, dark-complected Caucasian, but it's neither here nor there, but I do agree with there is something in the air. Let's hope things stay peaceful, but things...
Well, I agree. I agree, Mark, and I hate to say it, but it smells like what was in the air in 1859. Not that I was around then, but it read me a bunch of history.
Well, a little spooky, and you can feel the power of that hatred leaning on any civilized person's heart right now. If you're alive right now, I believe you can see it, you can feel it. There's a lot of things they want to say that they don't say, that they'd love to say, but they can't. I actually, Bob, I do a lot of traveling with my work, and it's hard for me to go to some local establishments to get something to eat because I can't be around it. So I eat a lot of Mexican restaurants, and I have a lot in common with the people that work there, and I make immediate friends for some reason. I think you and I both would, but if I could just, I made a couple observations, and then I'll hang up. I wanted to thank you for continuing to have the professors from the school, the American exceptionalism. When I heard that explanation, I went, wow, that...
Didn't that just blow your mind?
Well, you know, that's kind of what I... Yes, it did blow my mind to hear it in put in English by educated folks. It just... It's what I always thought. That was the direction we were all tugging in, and that's who... You know, essentially, a rising tide lifts all boats, small and large, and now you're a terrorist if you're in a small boat. I would caution folks, the last gentleman, I would say simplify to the retired Army soldier, and bless you. There are a few things that I noticed that my liberal friends do over the air or over the radio or television. They'll mention things that concern their personal safety or say where they're going to be and stuff. And sometimes that may be totally necessary, but there are other things that I would suggest that they, concerning our earlier observation, they'd be a little more judicious about, because we are living in a world that is heavily monitored. So I would just be careful of give thoughts about personal safety and personal directions and actions and futures that we are going to continue to be probably more involved with, if I may just get that off my chest.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I should probably retract something. I was just kidding. I am a gun-toting maniac, okay? I mean, I've got one down beside both. I've got a pistol on either side of the car seat on the driver's side, and a grenade launcher tucked away in that little stowage space there by the back seat.
Well, Bob, you know,
there's spring guns on the door when we lock up at night. I mean, it's
trip wires.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, yeah, we've got the yeah, exactly. You know, we know when the fundies are in the wires, Mark. You
know. I unfortunately revert back to that so quickly from my brain washing in the core. I was explaining to some guys who your radio talk show was about a few years ago, and I said, well, here, just listen to this, and I played the ending of your show, and once they heard the rounds go down range and when you chamber in that shotgun, they want to know all about your show.
Oh, man, Mark, I got to correct something real quick.
Yeah.
That's not a round. The beginning of Hell No, I'm Not Happy is not a round chambering into a firearm.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. You just mentioned it, and it was mentioned to me in an email a while back by somebody who found it disturbing because it, you know, seemed contrary to my nature.
Oh, wow.
But no, that is a beer can opening.
Oh, well, is it a Coors or?
God, I hope not.
I know, I should. Coors is probably the most.
No, that's the symbolic end of the program where I get my end of the day libation. And that's all it is. I mean, and believe me, it's a symbolic libation. Trust me. But no, that's a beer can opening.
It must be a collector's item. Maybe it's Billy Beer because it sounds like it's made out of steel. But I appreciate the correction there. I just wanted to say one more thing about the subject of rape and concerning what's happened in the last couple of days here or their agenda. But having been in civilian law enforcement and a United States Marine Security Guard guarding United States embassies and an active duty Marine, we are taught about deadly force. And one of the crimes that if you encounter it, where use of deadly force is authorized, is the subject of rape. So for the listeners, that's how serious that subject is. And the threat or the implied threat or harm to a person concerning rape, and it can be any gender related or whatever the circumstance, but rape is a deadly force authorized felony. So if a
peace officer sees one going on, and he mm-hmm. can get a shot without hurting the victim, you take the shot.
Yeah, I believe you can tell them to stop.